This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Johnny Speakers, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. Now, this is going to be fun because you're Johnny Speakers, but we're not here to talk about speakers. We're jumping right into it. What an upgrade. Go. Just talk about it. Talk about the entire experience. Because I know firsthand, it is quite the experience. First off, did you know what you were in for?
No, you know what? I got as a PD and I love it. It was kind of, it's been a long journey because I wanted one and then I had a couple people I know that were willing to sell them and then didn't want to sell them.
Yeah.
And then, So I decided, okay, I'm going to buy one straight through Zepedi and, they're great and everything, but there's kind of a lot that go into it. You have to, you got to find a, I don't know what you call it, a burner that can actually burn 4Ks. So, but there's YouTube videos that can show you how to do that. And then you have to decide, are you going to use any DVD or make MKV? And which one do you use, DJ?
Make MKV.
Yeah, me too.
Yep.
Me too.
It's the easiest, most reliable, and you can make it basically, it's just a one-for-one copy if you want. And then you can get into the nitty-gritty, which we'll get into, but. That seems to be the most reliable.
Yep. And there's a little, and you know, there's a little learning curve to that too, you know, a little bit. Yeah. A little bit.
It seems at the end that it was little, but when you're first, it's very daunting when you first start.
It is. And you know, I'm 43 now. I used to be pretty good at computers, but now I'm just kind of an iPad guy. And, I haven't really used a laptop or computer in a while. So it was kind of, it was a little bit challenging, but I don't know, after a little while, it's once you learn how to do it, it's actually pretty easy, you know, but it's just kind of psychological going into it.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to, it's trial and error. And it's, you know, what's funny, had you had any experience with Plex?
No, zero.
Okay. Same here. I had none.
Yep.
From what I understand, that's even more. That's why I ended up, why I went with Zepedi is because it was a little bit easier. It was a little bit more simplified. Zepedi, it takes a lot of the headaches out that you have to deal with Plex. Like Plex can only certain codecs, or you have different issues with each thing. Whereas the Zepedi will play anything. All you need, you can do an ISO file, an MKV file. You could any of those and Zepedi will just play it. Whereas Plex is a little bit more finicky on what you feed it, right?
So, I see. Yeah.
So, so which model Zepedi did you end up getting?
So when I was looking on their website, they had I saw somebody that had the 4K Pro, HDR Pro which was last generation, I think.
That's what I had.
And yep, and those ones are discontinued, but Zepedi had some, like, refurbished ones or, like, demos, but then they have their new ones, and they've raised the prices on those a little bit, so I could actually get, I ended up getting the Zepedi Neo, which is, it appears like a step down from the 4K Pro, but I think the only thing they really took out of it was, like, for like music purposes, I think is the upgrade for that. And I didn't plan on using that at all for that. So I went with the Neo. It can do Dolby Vision, which with my projector doesn't really matter.
Right.
But then I guess the processor's upgraded it supposedly a little bit, which I don't know how big of a deal that makes, but I'm happy with it so far, you know?
Yeah. It's, you know, what's funny is, I have the 4K Pro and, I'm actually thinking of upgrading to either that one, the Neo, or the, what's it, the signatures above it, or is it the reference? I forget. It goes.
Yeah, I think Yeah, Neo, Reference, and then Signature.
Okay, Signature. I don't need the Signature. That's like $3,500 or something like that. And it's got
something like that,
solid gold connectors or something inside it that I'm like, okay. But even the Reference one in the middle is supposed to be the equivalent to the Pro that I have with the updated processor. So from what I'm understanding is even the Neo, the new processor in the Neo, is faster than the 4K Pro that I have. So movies will load faster, things that, you know, it's just a smoother experience. And I plan on upgrading eventually because I still use it. There's a lot of content on there that, you know, going, it's what's nice is between that and the Kaleidoscape is there is content on my Zapedi that you just don't get at Kaleidoscape, but to be able to pop back to that, you get, like, for instance, we talk about it all the time, Twister with Atmos. I put that onto my Zapedi from, you know, it's a disc from Germany. It's the only place you can get it. So I can put that onto my Zapedi. I get everything there. So I would like to have a smoother interface. The Pro just is a little bit clunky right now, at least comparatively. So, but your interface is really good.
It's maybe a slight clunkiness to it, but nothing that I find annoying at all. You know, I guess I kind of knew that going into it just by watching reviews. So, it's really not a big deal to me at all. You know, it's definitely not 100% smooth, but it's not annoying either.
Right. Yeah. That's the thing. I knew when I got mine, when I first got it, you love it, especially when you first get it and you have like, I remember when I was like, you get the alphabet across the screen when you, so like if you put in, say you put in Apocalypse Now, so then the A will show up, right? But then you put in the Star Wars disc and it'll have A and S. They don't give you the whole alphabet. You have to earn each letter.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. And it made me like looking through my library. I'm like, I need a U. What am I? Oh, Unforgiven. Let me put that in. Right. And you're like, I was trying to get to all of the alphabet in there. And then like you find out, like it's just stupid little things. Like that's how much of a completist I am or whatever the word is. Right. Then I'm like, I got to get the alphabet in there. It's like you're looking for Y's and Z's. And it's so funny.
It is funny. Yep.
Have you finished your alphabet?
No, I don't think so. I've got 145. What's so
nice?
I guess the ZP is cool because it's just got a bunch of little silly things in it. But I don't know about you, but so the way I'm doing mine, I know you have a NAS or NAS system. Yep. I don't. I have a 16 terabyte, and so pretty much I'll have to back up a couple movies. I pull my hard drive out. Transfer it over, then I put it back in the player. As soon as I put it back in the player, I have to go and check out the pictures because, you know, it loads up.
Oh, yeah.
And then you got to check your cover picture and then the background picture, and you got to pick the coolest one to you, you know? And it's so much fun. I like that part a lot.
Okay, so
you know?
let me tell you, you have a network in your house, right? Do you have it?
Well, I do. No, I don't have. Well, I do, I guess, but.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I.
Well, you got to be hardlined into your Zapedi, no?
I am. Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yep.
So, is your computer hardlined into that same network?
Nope. It is through Wi-Fi. Just my laptop.
Okay. So, what you're gonna want to do, and Joey, my IT guy, he's listening right now, cracking up because this is what he went through with me. And I did everything you did. So you have your little thing next to your computer that you put the hard drive in, right? And you...
And I have a funny story for that, too. But yeah,
Well, yeah, I have a ton of them. I blew up hard drives doing this, right?
Oh God. Okay,
well,
yes.
How many hard drives can you fit in a Neo? Just one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And you know, so that's the difference between the Neo and the Reference 2. Reference has two drives.
Okay.
Neo has one.
All right.
So there's another difference.
I don't even need that. I mean, because with the NAS, I have no drives in my Pro. I have none.
Okay.
I run everything through the NAS. So get your computer onto that same network. Then you'll be able to see. You'll never have to move that again. And it's called, like, I forget the term, and Joey's killing me. He's probably dying right now. What do you call it? You call it like sneaker net, I think he called it. And that's what you're doing, is like you're putting the movie onto the hard drive and then you're walking the hard drive with your sneakers over to the Neo and putting it in. But he goes, he's like, all you need to do is, he goes, you'll find it on your computer. And he showed me how. He's like, you're up, it's on your network, and everything goes right to it. Everything.
Oh my gosh.
So like, you're just, it downloads right to the Neo. And he looked at, he just went online and he goes, you're an idiot. He texts me, he goes, give me a call. He goes, you're an idiot. I looked this up. And he goes, you can just, I was like, I don't think you can, blah, blah, blah. And I've been doing it for months the way you're doing it. Right. And yeah. It's like, yeah. Uh-huh. So you can do that. But yeah, it'll be a lot easier. All you got to do is hardline yourself into the network from your computer and you'll see it, and boom, all your information. You won't even need that little gadget next to your computer anymore.
Okay, nice. Well, so I have a friend that's an IT guy at a school district. Okay. And this is how much I don't know about computers anymore. So there's USB 2.0. Oh, yeah. So this is a little story for anybody if they want to get into PD and they start doing this too. So there's USB 2.0 and 3.0. I didn't even know that, but I needed 3.0. So I bought a connector that goes from the laptop straight into the extra or the hard drive. But it was a 2.0 and I didn't know that. So I was trying to format this hard drive and my dumb computer would not recognize it. So I was ready just to return everything. I was so mad, you know? So I brought it over to my buddy's house and he's like, dude, this ain't going to work. So you need a connector that actually it connects to the hard drive, but it also has its own power supply for 3.0. Otherwise it won't read the hard drive. I bought that from Amazon and voila, no problem. So
yeah,
there are two different connectors, I guess. I don't know.
I had one of my issues was I bought my first hard drive. I can't remember which size. It was so long ago now. It's so not so long ago, really. It's so much crap has happened to me using this thing that I forget which issues. They kind of all mesh together. But when I bought my first hard drive, it says you're going to need this bay, right, to connect to your computer. And it's like typically bought with this. So I bought a 16 terabyte hard drive. I bought the bay that it said to buy with it. I'd get like 50 movies on there and then the thing would just crap out and I fried the hard drive or I thought I did. So I lost, you know how long it takes to load 50 movies onto these things, right?
Yes.
Lost it does. Yes. Lost them all. I'm like, start over. Did it again. Start over. Meanwhile, I'm enjoying the movies on the PD. Like I'd sneaker walk it over there and I'd sit and watch Star Wars and do all my thing. And you're loving the Zapiti, but then it craps out and now I can't use it. And what happened was when I went on Amazon and bought my hard drive, it says typically bought with this and you click on that and it's the bay. Well, that bay can only use up to like a 6 terabyte hard drive. It's only capable of doing that. It wasn't capable of a 16 ter. So it was giving me enough information. But once we went past that, the bay itself didn't, I don't know why. So I bought a new bay that said, you know, 16 terabyte and, you know, or up. I think it was 18 or whatever. And it was like, it cooked. And I was, everything nice. Was great. And I was like, are you, and that was like probably a month and a half of trial and error. And then, bad, but yeah, these are all little things that, like, I know you asked me back and forth, like, what's some stuff, and it's like, you don't really know, even, I wouldn't even know what to tell you to look out for, because there's so, you kind of got to feel your way through it, you know, it's like, I wouldn't even know how to explain that to somebody that, like, people listening right now, they're like, what do you mean? Like, but then when you're in it and you get one, all of this will start to make sense. You know what I mean? Like, cause it's like a bay. What are you talking about? 3.0, 2.0. What are you? And all of this stuff means something unless you're in this world, you know, it's meaningless to you.
Right. Yep.
So, oh, go ahead.
No, nothing. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No, I was going to say. So what was the first movie you put on?
I started with the Marvel movies. You know, I just went right down the list of Iron Man, you know, and I was doing it upstairs, and I just brought all of them up in a big old stack. And I got it and I was on vacation. So I pretty much spent a week just every day, because it takes about an hour, I think, to do a movie or something. So I was getting 8 to 10 a day, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I know. Yeah, and you'll see on your thing, like when you load them in, you'll see how many you did that day when you look at the files. And when you get to 8 to 10, you're like, yeah, look at me go.
Yep. And so, and you know how you always tell your eye glazing stories of people that don't get it. So here's mine for the show, Katie. So like a week ago, oh my God. So a week ago, and my wife is such a good sport. Okay. So a week ago, we go to a buddy's house, a good friend I hadn't seen in a while. It was his kid's birthday party. And he's like, oh, well, so what have you been doing for fun lately? You know? And my wife like looks at me and just kind of giggles. And I'm like, oh God. I'm like, well, I bought this new thing called a Zapedi, and like the eyes start glazing over on my buddy, you know? And he's like, okay, well, what's that? I'm like, well, I'm taking all my movie discs, which he has no discs at all, and I'm putting on this movie player so I don't have to like put movies in the disc player anymore. I can just play it from this box. And he's like, why don't you just stream movies? I'm like, I ain't even starting. Ain't even worth it. But but the old glaze was going on, just looking at me like, So
yeah,
it's what we do, you know.
I know, and it's funny. It's like, never mind the headaches that you're going through to do this, right? And it is, you're like, okay. And I mean, yeah, it's as good as the physical media itself. I mean, it is great quality. It looks fantastic. I'll let you speak to that some more as evidence of it. But but even that, it's like streaming looks so good, right? And you're like, if you show this to people, be like, you went through all of that for what? A lot of people don't see the difference because they don't care to. They don't put the time in to notice the difference. I mean, you actually have to show them like, see right here, it just doesn't look the same, you know, or it doesn't sound the same. They don't care. So it's a valid question on their part because they literally don't see or hear any difference. And they're like, all that work. And, you know, this little Apple TV box, it's got it all right in there.
Exactly. Yeah. So Doctor Strange 2 on Disney Plus, I think it's the first movie video wise that I was like, man, if they could get that audio even close,
yeah,
this is getting close. The video was really good in my opinion.
But you haven't seen the disc yet, right?
No, I have not.
That's right? The not thing. That's
for us.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. It's and that's why it's like it does. It looks so good, right? I mean, streaming is so good. It looks good, and I think people like us, we know Doctor Strange should sound better than that because we know what depth it can go to or should go to, right? But that picture, it does streaming, it looks really good, but it's not until you get the disc and you go, holy crap, this is amazing. You were like, nope, they're not close yet, and you'll see it on disc and you'll be like, oh wow, they're not close, because like Ralph Potts did his review, and I know when he got the disc in. And he puts out his tweet saying, he goes, this is in for review. And I was like, I tweeted back. I'm like, I cannot wait to hear what you think of this. And he had watched it like the next day or something like that. And he texted me and he's like, this is freaking amazing. Because it's like the opening scene to it. And he and I were talking. We're like, we are on the cusp of 3D, passive 3D. Because when you start to see it in movies like this, you're like, there's got to be something that we can do to just push it a little further to get that real like 3D. I'm watching, I'll be talking about it Friday way, way more, but Jurassic World Dominion, and that when it comes out on disc, there's a scene that I wanted to do a screen grab of, but I'm like, it doesn't even do any justice. It's like, so Chris Pratt is like pointing at the camera, like pointing at something in the movie, but his hand is out like this. And I felt like I could reach out and touch his hand. It was that 3D. It was the image quality in Jurassic. I was like, and like I said, I'll have way more on Friday, but when you see, that's the thing is when you get it on, streaming just can't keep up when you can compare. When there's nothing to compare, we love that. I mean, it is great. Like you said, Doctor Strange looks great. All of Apple TV looks great, but all of their programs, but that's probably why they don't put them out on disc. So we have nothing to compare and we just go, oh, the foundation looks amazing. But imagine what it looked like on disc. So did you do one movie this, cause you said, I asked you, I'm like, what movie did you put on first? And you said the Marvel movies. Did you do one movie and put it in, or did you put do a bunch and then load in the hard drive?
So I have to, I think, cause so, my laptop is not very big. It's like 200 gigabytes available. So I can do two, maybe three, and then I have to put it over to the hard drive. And then I can do two or three, and then I can, then I have to transfer it over to the hard drive.
Okay.
Cause yeah, my, yeah, cause it's a small solid state on this laptop that we have. So that's kind of how I've had to do it.
Oh, so you're even saving them to the hard drive, then transferring them over.
Yeah. Cause it's only got one 3.0, on this hard drive, on this laptop. So I have to plug in the burner and then I have to unplug it. Plug in the transfer cable.
Can you get an adapter for that? Can you get a splitter off of that? I would do that. And then you would go right from
the burner into the laptop. I know that would make things
right from the burner into the hard drive.
Right to the hard drive. Yeah.
Then that would save you that. But I would actually, you know what? Don't even bother with that. Concentrate on getting your laptop to the Zapiti.
Get it hardwired. That's what I will do.
Yeah, and I'll help you out with that, and I'll talk to Joey, and we'll get you because it's pretty easy to do, and once you do it, you'll be cooking, you'll be flying, you'll just be uploading movies.
So this laptop is like super thin. It doesn't have like a Ethernet connection. Like, is there something I can do about that?
Doesn't,
so there's like, you know, no, It's got a HDMI. It's got a couple USBs, but there's nowhere to actually put like a hardline cable, you know?
What model is it? Maybe it's there. You just don't see it. Cause I know mine on my laptop is pretty thin, but it actually flaps open.
It's a Lenovo. I don't know. We bought this like just not too long ago.
A Lenovo?
Yeah. Oh, shoot. What's this say here? IdeaPad 3.
Oh. IdeaPad 3. Yeah, I don't know. Let me look.
I didn't know if you'd be able
to hard line that thing in.
I know. I would think so, but. I
think. 17-inch screen. Huh. Yeah, I don't know. Affordable. Yeah, we'll look. We'll look into that.
Okay.
We'll figure that out. Right. So you put a few on before. So you put two on? And then you load it into your Zapiti?
Yeah, maybe three sometimes, you know. So I actually, I got the hard drive from Amazon, which comes in like a day or two. And then the Zapiti, I ordered, and on their website it said, will be delivered in 3 to 5 days. Well, like a week passed and I'm like, what the heck? So I called them and they answered right away. And I guess their shipment of players was on a boat outside of Miami. So he's like, hey, I'm really sorry, but as soon as they get delivered to us, we can deliver it to you. I guess it was just a shipment, you know, COVID deal or whatever, where everything is hard to get in. So I guess they were waiting. And as soon as they got them, he called me and said, hey, it's on the way. And so I had about a week and a half where I could load movies up on my hard drive before I got the player. So I got maybe half of my movies done, you know.
Oh, nice.
Before I could. So that was kind of cool, I guess.
Yeah, awesome. That's awesome. So what was the first movie you watched that you pulled up?
Ready Player One. That's kind of really? My go-to. That's my awesome. Go-to demo, I think, whenever somebody comes over new or whatever. The race scene and then the final fight, you know?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, and how did you find the, like, what did you think when you first fired it up and you're watching, like, the logo, the artwork and getting to choose your artwork, the music, all that stuff?
It's cool. It's just much more than a player. You just can customize so many things. And I love that kind of little stuff. Just diddle around and, you know, tweak things and, you know.
Yeah. And this has the new, it's like some of the movies actually have the moving backgrounds now.
Yeah. That's kind of cool. Yeah. So some of them do. And I would say, I don't know, maybe 20-25% of the movies that I uploaded have that. It's kind of neat. You know, yeah. You'll have your cover and then it'll like, or some of them will have like the picture that you put as your background picture with like kind of like a clip going on within that right. background picture.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It's pretty cool. So what we're talking about is like when you, so you'll have all the artwork on all the movies to choose from. So it's basically box cover art. You click on that mm-hmm. and then that'll open up the movie and give you the little description, the scrolling description, but the background to that, you'll have your cover art on the left side. And then in the background, you get like in some of these, it's animated now. So you'll get scenes from the movie or something back there or whatever. But it's really cool. They're making it a little bit more action-y, like kind of interface. Mm-hmm. I like how you get all of the information at the bottom, too. You get, you know, yep. what codec it is, what's, you know, aspect ratio. It tells you what kind of file it is. There's a lot of information on these things. Have you found any of them that were like incorrect or stuff and stuff like that? Have you figured out how to manipulate all that?
Yep. And, there's, you know, like when you load it up, it says it gets its information. So it'll put correct pictures and stuff like on there. There's only one Blu-ray I have gotten so far that didn't pull up a picture. It's a concert DVD.
Oh yeah,
but our concert Blu-ray.
Did you figure out how to put your own on?
No, nope, I have not. So it's still blank out there.
Yeah,
nope, I have not done that.
Yep, I could show you how to do that. Yeah, you can put on whatever you want. It's like I made my own cover art for like the Marvel collection, so it has all the Marvel movies are in there. As a matter of fact, I went in after No Way Home. I added in all the Spider-Man movies too.
Okay.
And then cool. So they drop in it because I'm like, well, they're in the Marvel universe now. So I put them all into that yep. file. So when you click on it and you know how it like pans across like a carousel and you'll be like, boop, 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 boop. So,
yep.
But yeah, I made that artwork and I've had a few, concert videos like, that I put on that didn't have any artwork and you can grab anything, screen grab some artwork offline and you can import it right in. And it's pretty nice. Cool.
Okay.
Pretty cool.
Okay, cool.
So you found, obviously you found it, sounded, did you do any ABing? Like, did you watch it and then put the disc in to see if it actually, see if there was a difference or anything like that?
No, if I'm being honest, I haven't turned on my Panasonic 4K player since I got this in PD.
Yeah.
I haven't even put, like, I did a little bit of, like, rearranging in the theater room, and I haven't even plugged it back in. Like, it's where it needs to go. I just haven't even powered it up yet, so I don't know. The thing is just, it's awesome, you know?
Yeah.
And, yep.
It's just, it's so much simpler. It's, you don't have to get up. Your movies are all right there.
Yeah. And I think you said before too that it's not really, I mean, it's kind of silly when you think of I'm saving the 10-foot walk or whatever to put in a disc, but once you're sitting down, you can watch a movie or some of a movie, and then you want to watch something else, you just start watching something else.
Back up.
You know, there's
it's not just the 10-foot walk. It's the firing it up. It's like the disc spinning up. It's the menus. It's the, like, you can get, you bypass all of that. Have you bypassed all of that, or do you still pull up the menus and stuff on, cause you can do both.
Yeah, I go straight to like videos or whatever.
Right. So yeah. So yep, you don't, yep. No menus, no nothing. And it's like, Nope. What I found, I don't know if you've tried this, but I started at the beginning, I was doing full grabs, you know, full files of the Blu-ray, full one-to-one copies. And then I was trying to go through the menu and I was trying to listen to special feature, and you can do that. But once you start to get a bunch of movies in there, it's slower and it's not as, I didn't find that it was as used. I just want to bounce back and forth between movies and scenes. So I locked the thing right into, you click on movie starts playing, right?
That's how I have it too.
Exactly. Yep. And if I want to do extra special features, then I'll go to my Blu-ray. Then I'll go to my player.
What I decided to.
Yeah. So that's why I'm kind of, you know, that player is just for watching movies. I mean, you can use it for other things. And I even tried, I bought the little mini one and I put it up in the living room and I tried to do extra features on that one. So I could, like, you know, if I'm making dinner or something, and I could pull it up and be able to listen to an, you know, director's commentary or something. But the mini was got to be a little bit clunky. It wasn't as, like, it took a minute to load, and it took, so I was like, it's their newer stuff is so much faster. And it's,
I see.
Yeah, I don't even use that one anymore. But yeah, it saves you so much time. You hit play, you push play, and it plays, you know, and it'll even tell you, do you want to resume? Yeah. Just start up where you were from. It's so much nicer. And
when you back up yours, then DJ, do you just go movie and then just the Atmos track or the DTS track? Is that how you do it, or do you do like multiple audio options?
No, I used to do the entire file, and then I was then I figured out, like, when I first got it, I was like, I didn't, like you, I'm like, I don't know how to do this. I clicked a button and it burned it. Okay, cool. I was like, I guess I did it right, right? Well, that was like, be it, you know, just copy file one-to-one. Then I figured out, I think it was Nelson, he had a Zapiti, one of my listeners. He helped me out, and he's like, no, you can go in and do this, and click, 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 and you open up the file there. And it was like, oh, okay. So then I started doing that, and I would eliminate all of the subtitles that weren't English. I'd eliminate all of the languages that weren't English. I'd eliminate all, you know, and then I would just do, like you said, just to save space, just be like, bang. And, you know, you can reduce that file down pretty big, pretty substantially. And yeah, that's how I do it now, especially when you get, like, when you're where you're at, where you have an entire collection to put in, you're trying to go faster or something. I get a disc in every now and then I want to put in, and I can actually, it, you know, it's a little bit simpler once things settle down. So yeah, I do go and choose everything that I want now.
Nice. Yep.
Yep. So yeah. So how long have you had it now? It's been like 2 months.
Month and a half? Let's see. June. Well, I went June, the second week of June. Yeah. So a little over a month. Yeah.
A little over a month. Okay. Yeah, yep. And you've got 125 movies in there already? Is that what you said?
I think more. I think, no, I can check. I think I might be up to like 150 now. So.
Oh, nice.
I've been, I don't know, a couple weeks of 8 to 10 a day, and then maybe one or two a day here and there, you know, after work and all that kind of stuff. Yep.
Yeah, you're like, you'll get relaxed and you'll be like, oh, wait a minute, I can't sit down. I got to go burn a disc.
yeah right. I did after like the first 100 or whatever, you do get burnt out a little. Like, at first you're so excited, you're like, I just want to get them all on there, and then you're like, you get to some movies that, like, you don't know the next time you're gonna watch it, or
right,
or not your favorite movie, and you're like, oh, this is, I don't know, and then one day you'll wake up and you get kind of excited again, and then you'll knock out a bunch, you know.
So, yeah, exactly. It's nice to see that collection grow in there. Right. And like, it, the more movies to choose from, the more movies, every now and then you'll be like, oh, I forgot. I really want that. I forgot that one existed. I need to put that movie in. Like, I get that a lot just on Twitter talking to people. Like, I have Dante's Peak on Kaleidoscape. Mm-hmm. Why? I was on Twitter. Somebody mentioned something. They didn't mention Dante's Peak, but it was like, bang, I need that. Same thing. I did the same thing with the Zapiti. It's like, I dig out. And what I ended up doing is once things settled down, I went through my collection and I started just going alphabetical and just being, all right, just start knocking these out. Let's get all the, you know, the D's out, this, you know, E's out. And I just went all the way through the collection. And I think on mine, I gotta be up to like 600, something like that.
Wow.
500 or 600.
Nice.
Yeah. It's all my Blu-rays, all my 4Ks, everything that, you know, and I have a stack that I have to add of stuff that I've bought recently that I haven't watched because I have it on the Kaleidoscape now, but I do want to get them over there. But yeah, I don't know. It is a lot of work. But for people that like to just sit down and pop in and out of movies, I think it's totally worth it. I really do.
Me too.
It's totally worth it because you'll get to the point where now all you're adding is your new movies. Like when, you know, Doctor Strange 2 comes out, you'll be like, yo, I can't wait to put this on. And you won't even watch it before you got to get it onto your Zapiti before you watch it. And you'll put it on and then you'll fire it up and you'll be like, oh yeah, it's, and that's how you get your collection. And that's, everything's there. And then when you'll watch the entire movie and they'll be like, you know what? I want to go watch Doctor Strange 1 now. And you back it up and you just back out and you watch the one and you haven't even gotten out of your chair. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What's your favorite part?
Well, I like having them all in one spot. I don't know. I guess I have zero complaint. I like everything. There's nothing I don't like. I don't know. I think it looks perfect. It's super convenient once you get them loaded in. I don't know.
That was my next question. Then my next question is like, what's your least favorite part? And that's probably the learning.
Well, I would say. The learning curve, but you know what? The loading part's not even annoying to me. I like that part too. You know, now that I know how to do it, I don't mind that part. I come down to the theater, I throw it in there, and get it going, and then you just go on with life. You know, and about an hour, I come back and check it out, make sure it copied, because you'll know too that sometimes for whatever reason the transfer will fail. You know, you'll come down here, it'll say. So you have to either do a different combination of settings or you just tried it fresh again and eventually it'll go. And that can be a little frustrating too, I guess, when you,
you put a movie,
come back an hour later,
it says failed. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Right. Right.
I want to watch that. Yeah. That is frustrating.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. And the weirdest one for me is I just got the Lord of the Rings, 4Ks, and the Fellowship of the Ring went fine. Return of the King went fine, but the Two Towers, it took me like 10 times to get that one to back up over, and I don't know why.
Yeah.
So, but if it just finally did, you know, I'm like, okay, whatever.
Now is that the 4K set? So
yep,
extended.
Yep.
So two discs each.
Yep, it gives you so there's actually, for each movie, there was three discs. There was the theatrical, which was one.
Right.
And then the extended was two each. Yep, yeah. So, yeah.
Did you put them all on?
Yep. Well, nope, I just did the extended.
Yep, there you go. Yeah. Yep. I did the same thing. Except, yep. You just put them all up there, and the artwork shows up everywhere, you know, and it puts it right in order for you, so you have all of them right there. It's that's how I did my reviews on the first two. I have Jeff and I haven't done Return of the King yet. We're supposed to be doing that in August. We haven't reviewed Return of the 4K disc, but we talked about the first two. It's one of the drawbacks is sometimes it does get that's not the Zapiti, that's just ripping the discs. That can be, you're all excited to watch a disc and you get it home and you're like, ah, And it takes, like, you're rubbing it on your shirt, you're trying all these different things. And it's like, all right, get it to go through. The pain, but it works eventually.
Yeah. So what's your favorite and least favorite thing about it?
My favorite is the being able to just pop in and out. Absolutely. I always wanted to have something like that, but Plex just scared me. There was just too much work, too much of a learning curve that it would have ruined the experience. And once you get this thing up and running, it really is very competitive with a Kaleidoscape. And for me, that was always my goal, is to get there and be like, I just wanted to have that artwork up there. I loved the music. I loved the as you're flipping from each disc, the music changes in your room. So you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's so you get the theme music from each movie plays when you move from, and just that interface and being able to pop in and out is just, to me, it makes the worst part worth it. And the worst part being it's an incredible learning curve. Not as bad as Plex, but it is still, for somebody, if you're just a home theater fan or just a home theater enthusiast and you're used to pulling stuff out of the back of your rack, you're used to doing it, you're hands-on and everything like that, this is a whole other level. Because like you said, I was like you, we're used to computers. I'm not afraid of them, but there's a lot more you need to know to make this go smoothly. And it can be frustrating at times. It can make you pull your hair out. And most of the stuff that happened to me was because of me. It's all user error, right? And you're like, I just didn't know, you know? I didn't know that was possible. And people that were smarter than me would laugh and were gracious enough to say, give me a call. And it's like, yeah, it once you have the thing running and everything, and you got a good collection up there, which obviously you do already, it's just great to sit down in your room and you bring people down and go, what do you want to watch? And you show, and when that cover art hits the screen, you're just like, all of the, like, and you start scrolling through. It's awesome. It's awesome. And it's everything you'd want in your theater, is just to sit down and watch movies, you know?
Yep.
So it is, it's so much fun. I'm glad you're having a lot of fun with it. Glad you're having fun with it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. It actually brought one of my favorite home theater moments, I think, ever. Last weekend, one of my friends and his girlfriend came over, and he could care less about my home theater. He's just, you know, whatever. But his girlfriend said, I want to see it, you know? So me, my wife, and her came down here, and I put on the Zapiti with every movie that we could have, right? 2 hours later, I come back, DJ, and my wife and her watched all of Winter Soldier.
Oh, nice.
I'm like, so the room actually got used, I think, for the first time, like,
without you.
Yes. Like, my room actually got used without me, and that just made me so happy. I don't know why. They're like, yeah, it's actually getting used.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I thought that was really cool.
What do you have for a remote? Do you have a Harmony, or do you have some, is it user-friendly? Is the room user-friendly without you?
Well, I have a Harmony upstairs on our main TV, but down here, nope, I have five remotes sitting around, and it is not user-friendly. And I think my wife would use it way more, and she's pretty smart, but she's really, at this point, she's just like, unless you come and turn it on for me and give me the remote so I can just select what I want, she doesn't really have a whole lot of interest in doing that, you know? And I would get a Harmony too, but just with how much they're gone up in price.
Oh, yeah.
I'm okay with the five remotes. For when I use it.
Yeah, if somebody wants to know. I mean, but that is a funny question that we do ask. It's like, is your room user friendly? And it's like,
I would say no. Mine is not.
I kind of, over the years, I've designed mine to be user friendly to the family. I think anybody coming in, it wouldn't be. Like, we've actually had people watching the dogs, and it's a quick tutorial on how to use the room. And I think the only issue that I've ever had is I always ask people to make sure the projector shuts off. So sometimes, like, you'll power down, and my son will play video games, and I'll come down in the morning and go to, like, and I see the projector's been on all night. And it's not really on because everything's off. So it's just sitting there. The bulb isn't really on. It's kind of just, but you'll see that little bit of light on it. So you're like, oh, that's been on all night. And it's like, I know we shut the system down because the system's down, but for some reason it didn't trigger. So it didn't shut down. So I always make sure to tell people, like, especially if I'm going away for a weekend or something, and I'm like, I have a dog sitter, I'll be like, here's the remote. If that does not shut down, just hit this remote, point it at it, boom, boom, and it'll shut right down. And they're like, okay. And I've never had a problem. But that's the only issue. Other than that, it's, you know, pretty much, especially with the Harmony, you're like, bang. It's,
you know,
you know, so it's, I've wanted my kids. I always wanted my kids to be able to use my theater. I wanted, like you, it's like, you want people to go in and just be able to sit down. Like, you want to do something? Go ahead. Use it. Go ahead.
Yeah.
You know, and they do every now. My son, that definitely does. He uses it every day playing video games. My wife, she'll use it if we have, like, if she needs to come downstairs, if, like, the cleaning lady's coming, she'll go downstairs, and I'll come home from work, and she'll be sitting in the theater watching TV. So I'm happy, you know, and I'm trying. It's getting more complicated, though, with all of the equipment as we go, but it's user friendly. So, but it is, that's a fun feeling.
it is a fun feeling. Yeah. My equipment is set up kind of funny too. I have my receiver, and then my amp is, like, in a closet. And then I have, like, an IRI where I can point the remote towards that way. That's in, like, the front right of the room. Mm. And then my player, I used to have the player in there too, but then I'd have to go in there and put the discs in and all that. So actually I moved the player out of there, kind of where my seating is. Mm-hmm. So that, just so I, you know, easier to put the discs in. So I put my Zepedi by that. And then you have your projector behind you. So you actually have, like, all these remotes, and you got to point the remotes in all different directions. I think my wife would just like, forget this thing, man, you know, and she could just say, I'm watching TV upstairs.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I don't know.
Yeah. I have, when I built the room, I put in a Niles IR repeater system. So I have, same as you, I have the IR, I have the sensor up in the top right corner. And when you point, and what's funny is before Harmony existed, the remotes I used, you just have to aim it in that direction. Now with the Harmony, I have the hub that shoots out the IR for the hub. I have that at the back right corner, and it's aimed directly at that eye. But then I have one coming off of that that goes into the back side of the projector, because there's a sensor on the back of the projector. I used to have Lutron lights that, in the light switch on the wall, had a sensor in it. So you'd, if you had that, actually, I could, before Harmony existed, I could actually point the way you did it. You know how you copy it, remotes, you know,
like Learn It or whatever.
The old days, you'd have to do that. So I had to do that. But then when Harmony came out, I could take that little remote and use that to point at a Harmony system, because there was a way to do it for that. But then I upgraded to the Hue lights, so that eliminated that. So now Hue works with the Harmony, and everything just boom, boom. So, but having that Niles system really makes a difference, because I have all little sensors going to each of my pieces in the closet, and those sensors, you can, that's a pretty cheap system. You could look into that. You might want to look into something like that, because it's, back then, I felt like it was way more expensive back in the, like, in 2001. But now I think you can probably do a system for, like, maybe $100 or something. And it's, you get a little hub, and then it's, you know, looks like a headphone jack, but each sensor plugs into it. And then you just put that sensor right to where the, it's an IR repeater. I'm sorry. You put that IR repeater right where the sensor is on the piece of equipment, and makes everything simpler. And then you just point your remote in that one place where the IR receiver is. So
I'll do that and get it. She's watching Stranger Things right now. I'm not, but she is, And last night, actually, I was sitting down and watching, and she's on. Have you watched Stranger Things?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're like, we got like two or three episodes left, my wife and I. But
Okay. So she's watching it upstairs. And last time I was at, I didn't tell you about my system upstairs. We'll talk about that in a second. But okay. she's like season four is so loud, and I can't really watch it when the kids sleep because I'm afraid that I'm going to wake them up, and I don't want them coming down and then seeing what's on the screen because you know how season four looks, right? So maybe, and I'm like, why don't? And you've talked about it, and a couple other people have said, I think, how amazing the Atmos is on that show. So I'd like to. I was like, why don't you go downstairs and watch it? And she's like, I don't know how to use that stuff. So maybe I need to get this simple so everybody in the family can enjoy it. You know, I think. Yeah.
I think that's your next step. I think, getting that remote, getting it more user, getting their interface more user friendly, right? And then being able to.
Yeah.
And you could probably even do, I think even just doing the Nile system would help, that they don't have to point the remote in all different places, you know? Even if you just lined up the remotes and you said, okay, hit this one first, do whatever you got to do. And then maybe, I don't know if the new, the sofa baton.
Oh yeah.
Maybe that streamlines a little better soon or something like that. But that sounds, so what's your system upstairs?
It's
loud up there. Well, you are Johnny Speakers, for God's sakes.
Well, I know it's about time we talk about some speakers, DJ. Yeah. So I just have my two channel system is upstairs, and I'm actually just using a Denon. What is it? 15. Oh, I don't know. It's a couple year old Denon receiver, but I only use two speakers, and I have a pair of Legacy Focus SEs, and they're my babies of home theater. You'll have to look them up someday. They look awesome, and they sound awesome. They have each one's got 212s.
What are they again? Legacy what?
Legacy Focus SE.
Focus SE.
Yep. So those are. I only have two channels up there, just those guys. And it's for all of our music listening.
Tower
and
speaker?
Then we listen for they're huge.
They're beautiful. And what finish did you get?
I have the Black Pearl. Oh, it's awesome. As a painter, you would really appreciate it. If you go on, there's a couple YouTube videos at Legacy's factory, which is actually like only a couple hours from my house in Springfield, Illinois. And the process they go through to make those speakers is it's ridiculous. It's like 20 or 40. The paint job is like 30 or 40 hours long on those speakers. Yeah.
The Black Pearl. Looking at it. I want to see some with it. I'm looking at the speakers, and I'm like, I like the rosewood finish is really nice. The Black Pearl. So does it have like Black Pearl must have like a pearlescent look to it?
Yeah, it looks almost like a metal flake.
Metal flake type of thing,
I guess. Yeah.
The swatch doesn't do it justice that I'm looking at. I'm on their website right now, Legacy Audio.
Yeah. Can I tell you the story of buying those then?
Please.
okay. So I heard them. I heard those at one of those Exponus shows that we talked about earlier. They have the big audio show in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I heard them, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. And there's a website I like. It's called US Audio Mart. It's pretty much like a Craigslist, but it's just for audio equipment. And I really like it. And I just happened to just type in Legacy at work one day because I was bored. And there was a pair of those. Maybe an hour from my house. And so those speakers brand new are like $12,000. It's kind of ridiculous. But there was a doctor that just happened to just flip through really expensive speakers all the time. He buys stuff and sells them. So I got those for a little under half. Well, they were offered at a little under half price, which is still expensive. But I'm like, these are my dream speakers. Yeah. And if there's ever a time to buy them. So I just called my wife and I just broke down the scenario. And he's like, well, you know, if they're your dream speakers,
it's half off.
And I'm it's half off. Yeah. I'm like, but I got to tell you, they're pretty big, you know? And I think my brain kind of forgot how big they were. So me and a buddy went.
36 pounds each.
Yeah. And they're probably like, I don't know exactly if it says on there, 4.5 foot tall, maybe 5 foot tall.
55 inches tall. So that's, so it's over 4.5. Or is that?
So I go with a buddy and I pick him up and I bring him in. He helps me put him in my van. The old white van, you know, and then I drive home and
I don't think these have ever been sold outside of a college out of a white van.
No. So I guess we should tell people if somebody pulls up in a white van with Legacy speakers, buy them. Buy them. So then I called another buddy that lives by me and I'm like, can you come help me get these out? They're super heavy. Right. So we bring them in the house. We unbox them. We pull them out there. They have like these black velvet covers on these things, you know, when you pull them out of the boxes.
Oh.
And we pull them out and me and my buddy look at the size of them. And I'm like, oh, I'm even afraid to like look at the expression on my wife's face right now, you know?
Yeah.
But I look over and I said, I really did not know they were this big. And she's just like, it's fine. You know, I'm like, oh, okay, well, thank God, you know? So we put them in position.
not going back.
No. And, they've, we re-redid our wood floor, I don't know, a few months ago. And, so that's the only time they've moved.
I bet.
I put them in our bedroom and then, I loved them, DJ. I love them, you know? So
they,
for two channel, no, they don't need a sub with those 412s. I had a sealed, HSU and, it really, in my opinion, it didn't really add it. Those things can go down to like 25 Hertz or something like that, like cleanly. So, yeah, I've known you for,
95.4 sensitivity.
Yeah. So super sensitive.
4 ohms frequency response, 18 to 30.
Oh, okay. 18.
Recommended amplification, 30 to 750 watts. Who's putting 30?
Yeah.
go big or go home. What the hell are you doing?
Yeah, my living room, and it's like a big great room with the kitchen and everything, 12-foot ceilings, and those babies have no problem pressurizing that room whatsoever.
18 to 30, you know, frequency response, 18 to 30 kilohertz at a plus minus 2 dB. Plus minus 2.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
And they're super efficient. So even though I have...
Yeah, 95.4 decibels sensitivity. That's that's why you can run them at 30 watts. That, I mean, it doesn't take much. That's,
and man, but
750.
DJ, because we're crazy, could it run on 30 watts? Yeah, but I have, I don't know, a two channel Anthem amplifier with like, I think it's like 350 watts per channel, just because, you know, I want to. Wow. And I'm sure it doesn't even, so like,
did you buy wire them? Because you can, Did you run a different amp for the bass on them, or is it just all?
Nope.
You can buy wire. It says you can buy wire these two pairs of binding posts for treble and bass.
So. Yep. Nope. I did not.
Okay.
It's just a two channel amplifier I picked up off of Marketplace. I like to buy used whenever I can. Yep. And So
dual 12-inch ultra-linear bass drivers with 15-pound motor. 15-pound motor.
Yeah, it's something.
They're beautiful too. I mean, they're just looking at them. I'm looking at one of the pictures. They have a TV between them and on the wall, and they come up almost as high as the TV. So 55 inches, 4.5 feet.
It's
4.5 feet tall. Jesus.
Yeah. All my friends, when anybody comes over, they look at those things like
they're almost as tall as my wife
thing in the world. But
my wife's 4'10".
Oh, that's not. Oh, my wife is 5'8". So it's
and they weigh more than her too.
That would actually be so funny to see. Imagine if your wife was like shorter than your speakers.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, these are what, 4? I think these are 4'7", right? 48 inches. So 4'7". These are 4'7". Yeah. So these are 3 inches shorter than my wife.
Almost.
She can barely see over them.
Yeah.
I bet you her eyes come up to the top of these things. If not, they might not even. Yeah, it is a beautiful. So you have this. No wonder why she doesn't go downstairs. She's getting the she's getting the experience, because I got to imagine if you're sitting in the middle in a good location, you're going to get a good experience out of this.
Yeah. Yep. They have that very good imaging and everything. But so we always talk about room acoustics. There's no room acoustics upstairs. I mean, I have like a stone fireplace that maybe diffuse the sound a little bit, furniture and an area rug. But my theater is fully fully treated, you know, all the way. And my Rebels are, I don't know, about $1,000 a piece, you know. And those speakers are obviously way more. This treated room, I would say, is 95% as good. The sound in here is 95% as good as those speakers because of the room. It's amazing how much acoustic treatments really matter.
Oh, you know? God, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But you need to, what's funny is when you talk to people about it, you really need to just experience it. You need to.
You do.
I think a lot of this hobby is like, you could be told what to do, but you probably wouldn't understand it unless you just experience it. Like we were saying with the Zapiti, I could tell you what I went through, but you don't even know what I'm talking about until you experience it. Right. And, you know, you hear an AV rant all the time. It's like, you know, you don't need new speakers yet. Let's get those room treatments going. And until you have that, you don't even know what you have for speakers. And it's like, you always ask, like when I SVS last week, they're like, what do you not skimp on? And I said, I'm like speakers, because get a good set of speakers, because it's going to take you time, especially if you're new at this hobby. It takes you time to learn what you didn't even know when you were buying your first set of speakers. So that's why I'm like, to me, it was, I didn't know when I bought my first set of, I bought Bose, because that's, I bought into the hype. I bought into the marketing, and I was like, I was excited to get my new Bose speakers. And then I was taught, like, no, it's like, what's the frequency response on these? I don't know. I'm like, what's the sensitivity? I don't know. And they're like, and it's not that I didn't know and I was dumb. It was that they don't, you can't find it out. They don't put it out. There's nothing for it. And back then it was like their Bose systems. It was, you were just supposed to know that it was a good system, and it was all the marketing. You didn't know what ohms it was. You didn't know what the frequency response was. You didn't know it, any kind of what, oh, he's got a bass module. What's the crossover? None of that. You knew nothing. And I'm like, yeah, that is kind of weird. And then I was taught, like, oh, you got to look at this stuff. Look at that stuff. Look at your sensitivity. That's when you're going to know what you're... And you learn all that stuff. Get a good set of speakers. Then you start to learn what your room acoustics mean when you start to add that in. But if you've started out with a crappy set of speakers, then, you know, you're going to be spending time upgrading that, and you're not really... You need to stick with something long enough to realize what you didn't know in the first place. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you've done it, and you've done it with, that's what I think it's fun talking with you, is that you've done it with all of these different speakers. And you and I kept talking last time you were on, we talked about speakers, and we talked for like, we were texting back and forth for a while about things that we were like, remember that you and I were the one that were, it was you that I was talking to that was about, like, maybe I should go to a higher sensitivity, like a higher frequency, or what did we call it? A higher pitched speaker, you know, a brighter speaker, because as you get older, maybe that'll sound more neutral or something. But yeah, it's, yeah, that's it. There's so much to learn, but if you keep bouncing from speaker to speaker, it makes it tough.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think neutral speakers are still, in my opinion, the way to go. I'm not really sure if the legacies are known as being bright or neutral. They just sound really good to me. I've never measured them. I've never done anything like that, just because I like how they sound.
Yeah.
You know? But even like when people buy something that's bright or whatever, when you do room correction and everything, you kind of DSP it back to neutral anyway, don't you?
I've always thought that too. But I'm not,
you know,
yeah, it's a kinda. And like, I always thought that too, but I'm like, but then there's the ability of the speaker itself. It's like, do you want to be correcting the speaker, or do you want to be, you know, it's, I've always liked the idea of the, like, that's why we do room treatments and we do that stuff so that, like, your room credit, you want to be doing, you want everything to run, in my opinion, as naturally as possible. So the less we have to do on our end, meaning, like, ideally, if you can get the best environment for everything to work correctly, the less the room correction has to do, the more accurate to the source you're going to be. You know, where you start messing with, like, well, that speaker's too bright, so let's bring this down and bring this up and bring this, you know, and you start messing with all those things. It's like, I feel like it's just, you're messing with the source maybe, but that's just been my opinion. But at the same time, the idea of, I don't know. I always thought that as well, but it's, you know, I don't know. I don't know. People smarter than me with that stuff. Cause I'm more like you, like what you said about your, about the, you know, legacy speakers. It's like, I don't need to do tests. I don't run tests on stuff. I like the way that sounds. I like the way my room is right now. I love this. I love that. And it's, you know, did you see that stuff on Twitter about Edge of Tomorrow and the opening scene and everything? And you're like,
Yeah, I did.
I'm like, I didn't even notice because I don't know that.
I didn't. So I had the blue. I actually got the 4K now, and I had the blue. I never really thought that scene was that cool. Anyway, it's kind of just like
dumb,
ridiculous. It's like ridiculous bass for a couple seconds, but it like made no sense, and it doesn't even sound good. It just like beats the crap out of your room for a couple seconds and then it's gone. And I was like, I guess I never really understood why people loved it so much. Anyway, I could run like a test tone to do the same thing whenever I wanted.
Exactly. You
know, it didn't, I never really understood, but the 4K quality wise overall way better. The Atmos is way better than the Blue.
Yeah.
Screen, you know? So I didn't understand why people were so mad, you know, or upset by it. You know?
Yeah. There are people that are like, I guess you call them bass heads or whatever. And they love that scene. I mean, honestly, I think a far better scene is the one from District 9 where the engine shuts off. It's at like the 12:15 mark. And I was so excited about that scene. That's a bass scene to me where you're like, now, you know, your subwoofers are working well. And it's like, if you feel it in your room, it feels like you're in the truck and you feel like the motor shut off. Like you feel the same shake and it's not even necessarily a sound. It's a brum, like when you shut your car off and the engine settles and goes brum. And I was like, holy crap. That to me, that's a bass head. That a bass head should be that the one from, you know, Edge of Tomorrow. It's like, watch this. The hell was that? Right. Who cares?
Exactly.
That's not going to impress anybody. That's not into home theater. That's not it. Be like, your picture fell off your wall. Pissa.
I think it would actually, the one person that I watched it with, they actually were like mad at it. They were like annoyed by that.
Yeah, like, did something
they didn't like it at all. Like, they didn't even like want to watch anymore almost because they were like, I thought that was kind of dumb. Why'd they do that? And I'm like, I don't know.
if that was in the middle of a movie, just that sound came out, you'd be like, something broke. What happened?
Right. It's
like a squirrel pulled a connection out or something. I was like, what the hell was that?
Another really good bass part, I think I watched Into the Spider-Verse yesterday, just the very beginning of that movie. Is it the credits or whatever?
Yeah.
There's a lot of awesome bass in that movie too.
Yeah. And
like awesome clean bass.
Yeah. And it's on scene transitions, isn't it? It's like they kind of go from one scene to another and they go something. It's something like that. I forget off the top of my head, but yeah, it's this new, I'm telling you I know I'm dying to talk about it, but it'll be out Friday, but can't wait to talk to John about it. But the Dominion, you know, Jurassic World Dominion, the LFE in that is so good. It sucks you into the movie. There's some scenes that you just get, like, without the LFE, you just don't, you won't, you'll just be like, oh, okay, it's really good. This movie has it all. It's got overheads, it's got the awesome bass throughout, and it's a fantastic picture. So I'm like, I can't wait to watch it again. I'm like, yeah, I'm that excited about it. I'm going to watch it again before I talk to John. And I didn't like it in the theater.
No, I remember you saying that. So I was wondering, do you like it better now, or does the sound just make it better?
Everything, the entire environment pulls you in. And it makes you more attentive to the movie. It makes you more attentive to the story. It made me go back and watch some of Jurassic Park, the first one, because there's a lot. The theater just didn't do it justice. It just didn't. And I wasn't in a Dolby Cinema. Maybe if I was in a Dolby Cinema, I would have felt different. I've said this before, it's like in the middle of the movie, I went and saw it with my wife. In the middle of the movie, I leaned over to her and I went, too many storylines here. It's okay. I said, I'll buy it because I want to complete my collection. But
right.
And that's why I bought it. I'm like, it came up for sale on the Kaleidoscape. And I was like, well, that's kind of sad because obviously Top Gun Maverick isn't out yet because it's doing so well in the theater. There's articles on Twitter and everything. They've passed the 45-day window and they're going to just keep riding
Yeah. And why not? Right. I would if I were them. Yeah. Right.
Right. And I think it's great for the movie theaters, but it's like, this is one of those things that, we're voting where we want to see our movies, And when I was on Ira's show last week, we had a question about why do they keep doing these Marvel movies? And it's like, Ira wants higher quality movies. Well, yeah, but you're not going. Ira won't go to the movies, right? His daughters had to drag him kicking and screaming to go see Top Gun Maverick, right? Because he's like, I'll just wait and see it at home. Well, he also says, well, if they put out better quality movies, I'll go to the movies. Well, they did Top Gun Maverick and you love it. That's a quality movie. You don't want comic book movies. You want quality movies. Well, there's one, but you wouldn't have gone. You were just going to wait and see it at home. So the people that will go to the movies, they're making billions of dollars off of these comic book movies. Why would they stop?
Right.
All right. Yep. Let's stop doing that. And let's go make some artsy quality movie to get, a couple million. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
That's a good business model.
Yeah. Cause Love and Thunder, it seems like either you love it or you hate it, but it made like $300 million opening weekend. So,
right. Exactly. Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, and you know, what's funny? It's like, this podcast, right? Brightside.
Yeah.
I talk about all the fun stuff, all the good stuff.
Yeah.
We don't talk negative, right?
And that's why I love this podcast.
Right.
It's all positive.
But we're rare. But we're rare. People want the negative, right? Listen to the higher podcast, the higher people that love to bash movies and this one, blah, 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 like, super popular. This one, we're putzing along. We're doing good. I love but that's what I want. That's what I want to cultivate. But this doesn't grow as fast as people that just be like, all right, we're going to be negative.
Keep it the way it is.
Oh, I know.
Like, you go on Facebook. So we went and saw Love and Thunder, my wife absolutely loved, she loved Ragnarok. And then she loved this one too. Partly I'm sure because of Chris Hemsworth too, just like every other lady, but she just loved the movie. And, you know how it is.
Yeah. And, well, did you hear last week, Mike Schramm?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure. So,
Mike,
yeah,
Love and Thunder, Schramm.
It's so funny. Yeah. But you go home. I go on Facebook, and there's like people. They take the time out of their day to like make a post on how much they hated that movie.
Yeah.
I'm like, why would anybody waste their life saying how much you hate anything? I don't understand it.
You know what I saw? And I just saw it last night. My wife and I went to dinner. We come home. And I open my phone and I look, and the first tweet I see, this guy wrote, and I think he opened it with, he goes, Endgame was great when it came out. I really liked it too, but it really hasn't held up well over the last 4 years. What the hell in your mind? Like, what? Like, compared to what? Like, what do you mean it hasn't held up well over the last? Everybody now, and this is why I try to stay in my lane. Brightside. Mm-hmm. I love home theater. I love the experience. I'm not Siskel and Ebert. But everybody with a podcast or a damn phone that can tweet thinks they're Siskel and Ebert. And they just want to tell you how bad something was. Or they can't wait to tell you. It's like, when I didn't enjoy something like Jurassic World Dominion, I am so disappointed in myself. I'm more disappointed in me than I am the movie. I'm like, I didn't like it. I don't know why. Like, I like everything. What happened? But people just want to tell you all the negative crowd. Like, oh, why? What in the world made him tweet about Endgame being bad now?
Yeah. I don't know. Yesterday, something happened that made me think about things a little bit different, too. So we finished watching Miss Marvel yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was okay, you know. But my son, who's 11, after it was all over, he goes, Dad, that was my favorite Marvel show or movie that we've ever watched.
Mm.
And I started thinking, I'm like, maybe like some of it is like, isn't for everybody. Like,
right.
That's kind of teenagey, you know, kiddish. And it was like, maybe it was just more directed towards people like that, and there's probably kids all over that just absolutely love that. And the fact that it wasn't my favorite, maybe it wasn't just meant for me, you know.
Exactly.
it was made for kids, maybe, and it was made for the, what would you say, Arabic or whatever, right? Those kind of people never have had anything like that superhero wise. I bet they all loved it.
Yeah.
You know, so you just have to stop and think that it's okay to like it too, but there's other people that like are over the moon about it, you know,
right,
just because it fits them a little bit, you know?
Absolutely. And that's why, like, John and I talk about it all the time. And it's that we grew up in like art and the idea of art and like, mm-hmm, what we literally dealt with, like, what were you think, like critiquing our art. Right. And people would ask you, what were you thinking when you did this? And we're like, well, right here, I was thinking, in this part of the picture, I was thinking about this. And my art teacher, Mr. McPhee, would be like, at one part of it, like, I always like to draw realistic. And when he would say, he was like, what were you thinking down here? Now, I'm not drawing interpretive stuff. So he's like, what the hell were you thinking down here? And he'd know when he's like, you needed to put your pen down here. And he'd point to a point. He goes, because everything, I could tell how you drew this by what you were thinking, you'd lost your concentration, and this is where it goes bad. Okay.
Okay.
So, but I'm drawing realistically. But when we did have to do stuff that was interpretive, it was like, what were you thinking here? Because I can tell you're thinking this and this and this. In that world, being exposed to that, learning what all that means, when you go into an art museum and you look at a piece of art and you don't know why, and I love the part from Daredevil, when Wilson Fisk buys that one white painting. Did you see the series?
Yep.
And he buys the painting.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, and you're like, what? But it spoke to him.
Mm-hmm.
People don't movies are art, right? So people don't understand that these things speak to people and everybody on a different level. Sometimes it pisses you off, which is fine, but that doesn't mean it's bad. It just actually hits you in a way that you're like, that did its job, right? Other times it makes you happy, it makes you sad. When it makes you feel nothing, that's when you're like, it didn't resonate with me. Literally, literally that's the term. It's like a speaker playing a frequency you can't hear, right? It's up into the 30 kilohertz and you're like, I don't know, right? So
right.
I got nothing out of that. But to somebody that meant something. So that's why, to me, it's like, well, that's just a bad movie. Well, he or she made it for whatever reason they wanted to make it. The actors didn't know they were making a bad movie. They were doing the best they can. Yeah. Is it for me? It doesn't mean I have to like everything, but I won't disrespect it. Right. It's like, you just, and to come out and bash stuff after the fact and be like, yeah, you didn't like it. That's fine. It's like, I didn't love Dominion, but I didn't bash it. I was just like, I wonder what, you know, it's like, I don't know what they were thinking there. It didn't speak to me. And I think that, but a lot of people just like, if they don't understand something, they just want to bash it. And they just want to, Endgame did. Well, wait a minute. You said in your tweet, you loved it. What do you mean it didn't hold up well? Well, now I know the ending. Well, no kidding. Like,
Yeah, right.
How's Casablanca holding up? How's Lawrence of Arabia holding up? How's Psycho holding up? We all, Psycho especially, you know what happens in the shower, but you still watch it, and it's still amazing. I'm like, Endgame, it's just long. It's a culmination of 10 years of movies. It doesn't hold up well now? What, the meaning is lost on you? I don't get it.
Yeah, I think that's Avengers, the first Avengers is still my favorite. I think just because when it came out, it was awesome. I liked it a lot. And I just remember how I felt after I watched that movie. And after that, like, even if it doesn't hold up anymore for whatever reason, I'll just always remember how I felt at that time. It'll always be great to me, you know? I don't understand how somebody like could change their opinion on something that you loved and now you don't.
Yeah, it's so. Well, that's what I mean. I think, and sometimes I think people just say these things for the sake of saying, like, to be contrarian, to be the contrarian, you know, to be like, look at me, I don't like Endgame anymore.
The hot take.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I know people that didn't like it when it came out. Why are you so late to the party?
Yeah.
Like, what? How are you going to feel next week? Tune in. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing. That's why they say that stuff, is to get people to talk about. I won't give them credit. I don't know who they are, but I just like, it's that's what it's for. And art is, it's there to be interpreted. And that's what I love to do that. And I love what they're doing, especially on our end where we get to take full advantage of what they're putting out. That's why we build these theaters. I think a lot of people don't realize it necessarily while they're doing it. But then once you get into it and you've built your room and it's like, I mean, you're taking full advantage of the art. That's what we're doing.
Full advantage. Like Morbius, for instance, right? The movie overall, I actually kind of liked Morbius, you know?
Yeah.
But the sound is so good that not only could you like or dislike the movie, for what it was, but you can appreciate the picture, which somebody worked hard to get that right. The sound, which a bunch of people worked, you know, when you have a home theater or a good sound system or whatever, it just gives you ability to appreciate movies in a lot more ways, I think, you know, than just your 40-inch TV that you're watching and you're like, oh, you either liked the movie or you didn't like the movie, you know?
Right. Yeah, it's like the difference, like watching it on your 40-inch TV with maybe even a sound bar is like reading the book. It's like the story better be good because that's all you're getting is the story.
Yep.
You get, and that's it. So, yeah, Morbius' story leaves a little bit on the table. And that's, that's the best way to put it. It's like, the biggest complaint about the movie that I heard from people was that they wanted more. So how bad could the movie be if it left you wanting more, right? Now when you get into, like you said, the sound, just the sound alone is amazing. There's so many great, great scenes. And I keep teasing it because honestly, I can't remember the timestamp off the top of my head, but there's an echo effect in there that I've never heard in any other movie, which I thought was amazing. The picture is also amazing, that the way the color is going by. And that's why when Ralph put out his review, I was like, buddy, you got to come on. I'm like, I was so excited because he didn't like the movie that much. And he was like, but he felt exactly like I did about the picture and sound. But he wouldn't go as far as I said, like, come on, this is up for disc of the year, right? Come on. And it's not. I said it's in the conversation. And but I would never put it number one. I mean, there's other better, there's actually movies that have all three that have great picture, great sound, and great story. So, you know, you gotta go with that. But it's like, but see, like the Batman, that's got great picture, great sound, and to me, great story. I still don't want to watch it in front of a regular TV. I want that full effect. I want that full immersion of the sights, the sounds, and the scenes. You know, you want it all. And I think that heightens everything, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a movie that, let me see if you know this one. Oh, I know you know it. See if you feel the same way.
Okay.
Daredevil. The movie.
You know, I have that on Blu-ray, and I want to put that on the Zapiti and watch that again. I have it. Because we talked about it earlier about the director's cut. I do have that. So I need to put that on there and watch that. Yeah.
I don't even call it a guilty pleasure. I put that up there with Morbius. It's the way he uses sound in that movie and the echoes that they put in, the echolocation that they use in that movie. It's a lot of fun. It's a fun movie for sound, especially going back to, I think that's early 2000s, like 2003 or something like that, that early, where when you got movies like that, where you got full room engagement and you were like, because we didn't have Atmos at the time. We had 5.1 discrete and maybe 7, if you got 7.1 on a track, you know, 7.1 on the disc, you were like, woo, this is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
That was, you know, the pinnacle of sound at the time for your home theater. And it was great. Do you remember Strange Days? Do you remember that one? Ralph Fiennes?
No.
Oh.
No, I don't know that one. I don't know that one.
Oh, Google that one. Look that one up. Okay. I don't even know if the disc, I don't know if it's on Blu-ray. I can't remember. But I had it on Laserdisc. That was a demo disc for sure. And this was back when you had to take the 12-inch disc and load it in. when you were demoing something, you were demoing. But there are, so the basis of the movie is it's futuristic. I think it's New Year's Eve, if I'm not mistaken. And Ralph Fiennes is a quote unquote, I want to call it like drug dealer, but the drug is these downloads. So what you could do is you put this thing that goes on your head like this, and it looks like a kind of like an octopus type thing, but it's mechanical, and it interfaces with your brain. All right. Now, for people listening, because this is a audio podcast, I'm putting my hand on my head, like an open hand, and the fingers are all out. And that's what it was like in the movie. This thing went on your head, interfaced with your brain, and you could upload or download your memories. So what people were doing is they would, in the movie, is they would borrow or download other people's experiences. So like, say you went surfing, right? And you would wear this thing while you went surfing. And you'd be like, DJ, yeah, you want to know what it's like to go surfing? You would upload that to a, you know, flash drive. I would put it in, and now I would wear it, and I would download what you've uploaded, download it into my brain, and I would experience you surfing, but it looks and feels like I'm seeing it and hearing it. Okay.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
That's the basis of the movie. Now, you can see where that's going to go crazy, because you're not just going to do surfing, right?
Yeah.
So people are doing all sorts of things, like, and that's where the movie goes nutso. But when they took you inside your room, like, you would hear everything. Like, all of a sudden, now I'm in your, if you spoke, I would hear you speaking in my head, but it would be coming from all of my channels, because it would talk like if you, you know, if you cover your ears and hear yourself talk and you hear that echo of yourself in your head, that's what it sounded like in this movie. And in the mid 90s, in a living room theater with all of my speakers going, people were like, what the hell is that? It was amazing. And they had great pans. Like, you'd look around the room and your whole room, the sound in your room would pivot. I don't believe it's on Blu-ray, but I can't remember. I don't know if I have it. I haven't watched it in years, but that was it's an amazing movie. It's a fun movie to watch. But it's that one, it was a total room engagement from beginning to end. And you had, and it was at a time when that was fairly new, like utilizing the room like that. It's like, I can't even imagine if they remade that movie now, what they would do with the Atmos and stuff, but they kind of do it already in other movies. But yeah, that's another one. So definitely check that out.
Okay.
I should find it, for God's sakes.
I wrote it down, so I will look into it.
Yeah. Any other good ones you had lately?
Well, I don't want to beat it to death because you've talked about, but I watched Obi-Wan and I really like that.
And you can never talk too much about good home theater stuff.
And this is a different perspective, I think, because you know what? I'm not really a Star Wars guy, DJ. I'm like almost not at all.
All right. Really thanks for that. Tuning in. Right. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. So here's where the bright side comes on though. I liked it so much. I actually went and I bought all 9 movies and I started watching those. And I actually really like it now.
Wait. You like, didn't have the movies before the show Obi-Wan?
I found some at a pawn shop. I had like the first Star Wars. I had Empire, Return of the Jedi. I had the Phantom Menace just so I could have the race scene as a demo. But I didn't have the other two. What is it, Attack of the Clones and what's the other one out of that trilogy, which would be part 6, right? Or I don't know.
Which one? The beginning.
There's a Phantom Menace.
Phantom Menace. Attack of the Clones.
I didn't have that one.
Revenge of the Sith.
Yep, I didn't have that one. And then I didn't have any of the new 3. I saw the one in theater, the first one of the new ones that came out. What was that one?
The first of the new ones?
It'd be number 7, right?
Yeah, that was called? Not Rise of Skywalker. That was the last one.
And not The Last Jedi, right? Is it The Last?
Now, see, this is what happens to me. I do this all the time. It's your mind goes blank and then it's so funny how my mind works. Let's see. I have to Google it. Episode 7. Boom.
Yeah.
Nope, not the Clone Wars. Force Awakens.
No.
I knew it was Awakens.
Yes, okay. Something. Yep. I saw that in the theater and I felt like I just had to because it seemed like a big deal and everybody was going to see it. And I liked that one. And I'm so oblivious to Star Wars. I actually kind of loved it. But then I heard like people are like, oh, it's just like the original Star Wars and all this stuff. I'm like, I don't know. I loved it. You know, they were comparing it to that, you know. And then so the Obi-Wan finished off my Star Wars collection for me. Now I have all 9.
There you go. In 4K, yep. I hope.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yeah. I do. Yep.
That's the thing is I always go right back to, I've watched since Obi-Wan, I've watched Star Wars A New Hope probably 3 times, just that one. But I also went through the entire trilogy because of Obi-Wan. So kind of what you did in like that you wanted to, you know, complete the series, mm-hmm. just because of Leia and getting to experience. So I started Obi-Wan and then in the weeks in between each episode, I spent my days just watching every, you know, I'd take an hour and watch, you know, I'd started at the beginning and went all the way through the trilogy, all 3 trilogies. And by the end, you really feel like you know Leia. And it's like, I mean, in the final one, you know, spoilers for everybody out there, but I mean, you know, Leia dies in, you know, Rise of Skywalker, and it was weird. It felt even more meaningful to me because you saw her as a child now. So you've almost seen her. You did see her entire life because you saw her being born, right? And then you see her at 10 years old, and then you see her as a 19-year-old and growing up, and then you see her in the last trilogy all the way up until she dies. And there's, you're like, it meant so much more. And it's like the as they keep filling in little pieces in the middle, and look at what it's doing. I mean, you can't say that this isn't working as a marketing scheme either, because it got you to go out and be like, I got to finish this. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. And the quality of the show for somebody like yourself probably helped too. I mean, the picture, the sound, the surround sound, everything. It's those final scenes, like Andrew and I were talking about, like they're insane. It's just the great, great lightsaber battles that when they first made these movies, and I mean, literally were making them in 76, didn't come out until 77, but back then, almost 50 years ago, they couldn't do the things that they can do now. They couldn't even move that fast because they didn't have the technology to keep up when they went to render the lightsaber. You know what I mean? Like, that's why Vader's and Obi-Wan and Vader's lightsaber battle has been sped up for the new, you know, what we see now. But in the original cut, it's very slow and very clunky because they're like, don't move too fast, guys. Because we can't, they're using sticks and they have to go back in and put the lightsaber in, right? I don't think they were doing it with computers. They were literally doing it on the film, and they're like, each frame they had to go back and render that. And it's like, they couldn't, if you went too fast, they wouldn't be able to keep up. So it's, so much has changed in all those years. Yeah. And we get to see all that. I hope they come out with I hope Disney finds it in their heart to come out with the original Star Wars movie. It uncut, unfiltered, unanything, just pristine, right? Just restored. Yeah. And we get to see I think that's the last piece that people would be like, okay, now I can die.
Yeah,
right. Yep. You know, I mean, I hope someday we come out with an even better version of it. Like, I hope we get an 8K with a super HDR or whatever. I hope they keep upgrading and trying to sell to us. I'm down for that too. But I would love to get that original movie as it was seen, the one that started it all. And that's how they could market it too. It's like, this is what started it all. And I don't know, but I think Lucas swore, like he said, it's not supposed to go out because in his eyes, that's not even what his vision was. His vision is what we see now. So, but.
I see.
Yeah. So I'm glad you're a fan now. I can keep you on.
Yeah.
And
okay. That's good.
Yeah. And to everybody out there, that's like, oh my God, DJ didn't know the name of the movie.
Oh no.
It's like,
no, I think I caught you so off guard by what I said, well, that you were like, you're, you know,
it's, but see, what's funny is like, I tell people that all the time. When I first started podcasting, that's what made me nervous. It's like my brain, when it, like anybody, it's like, I always tell people, I'm like, imagine like your brain is like, it's all a bunch of files and you need to locate that file. Right. And when you're calm and collected, you'd be like, oh, what was that? What was it? Episode 7? Force Awakens. No pressure. That's just great. Right.
No pressure.
But now all of a sudden there's pressure and you get that feeling. You go, I don't know it. I don't know it. Well, now they've taken those files and just thrown them up in the air. It's like all these papers are floating down. I'm like, I can't find it. And it gets harder and harder to find it. You're like, oh, screw it. Just lean into it. I'm an idiot. Okay.
Yeah. At worst, there's always Google.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I did. I was like, let me go to Brain 2. Google.
Yep. Yeah. And then, the Boys, I think we talked about The Boys before finished that. I really love that. I really love that show. It's
crazy.
It's different than everything else. And you described it perfectly. It's like, it seemed like their point of this season was to get you to pause it and walk away for a while to feel like I came to watch this right now, you know. It was so ridiculous.
The grossness, they were like pushing buttons left and right. They were like literally.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yep. Yep.
I didn't even mean that, but they were trying to piss off everybody. They were trying to gross you out. They were just trying to do everything, which I think is great. Because everybody needs that kind of like thrown in your face, like, calm down, everybody.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, but yeah, it's, I love that show. And it's fun to do it like that. There's a time to be crass like that. There's a time to experience stuff like that. It's like, not everything has to be pristine and perfect. Sometimes it's fun to see how like the sausage is made. And it is kind of like, isn't that kind of like the more realistic version of like what it would be like for superheroes?
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
You know, like Superman is like, that's the one-off. Like, who's going to be perfect with that kind of power? I mean, it's just, isn't the line like absolute power, like corrupts absolutely or something like that. So it's like, imagine being that powerful and still be that good. And it's just that's not realistic. I just think it would be so hard to control somebody like that. And that's what, you know, Homelander. Oh my God. That seems to me, sadly, that's the more realistic version.
Yeah. And that guy is such a good actor. Like, I don't know, kind of out of any superhero genre shows or movies, I think he's my favorite actor. He does such a good job at either making you so mad or just everything about him is so great, you know?
Well, I also like,
in my opinion.
Yeah. No, but I also like that I still am holding on. I mean, there's another season coming, so I still think they're going to find a way to make you sympathize, because they do that as the movie, as the show goes. Like, you are just like, he is absolute trash. But in this season, there was a point where even the characters in the show were sympathizing with him. And you're starting to lean like, I see why he is the way he is. And they're making him that despicable that you're just like, and then just when you start to sympathize with him, he goes and does something else. And you're like, oh, I was so close. I was almost on your side, buddy. And now you just did that, you know, and it's, I think they're toying with us. It's great. It's toying with your emotions for that character. And like you said, he is just a tremendous actor. It's like his facial expressions and like how he, you know, how he makes you feel about him.
I know. Yeah. Have you watched Ms. Marvel? Did you watch?
I am about halfway through it. I love it. I love it. I speaking of getting back to that, and I hope this isn't too personal, but I feel like I have ADD. My wife says it. Is your son like that at all?
No, I think I do. I don't think he does, but okay. I think I do. Yeah.
I think all little kids have it to some degree, because they're inundated with information. I was talking with Rob H after the first episode, and because he was like, I think this is what it was like for people with ADD. And I'm like, yeah, that is what it's like. And I that's what I liked about it. And I said it to my buddy John on my other podcast when we were talking there. And I was like, watching what she goes through and having to deal with all of that information and how it's coming in. And they're like, remember in like episode one, and she's sitting there and the principal's talking to her and she's thinking about something else and all this, and her mother's talking to her and her brain's off here. And I'm like, I was watching it with my son, and I'm like, that's what I'm like. That's what I was like when I was a kid. And then like her mom's telling her like, why can't you just focus on your studies and do that? And that's what it was like. So I was like, imagine like a 14 or whatever year old Pakistani girl, and I'm relating to that as a 52 year old guy. And I'm like, you know, so like you said, it's like when we were talking about like art and resonating with people and stuff, it's like, I found a way. I'm like, oh my God, this is what it was like when I was 14 years old. And I could, you know, it does, I think some people are like, I don't get that, but okay. But it's an entertaining show. I like where they're going with it. What was it at the beginning? I think it was Doctor Strange. Was it Doctor Strange? The opening, you know, at the beginning of the movies, the Marvel movies or even the shows now, and they'll have the Marvel logo, but the characters are inside it. Right.
Yeah.
So, there's always going to be the legacy characters. So we'll always be getting Captain America, Thor, you know, Black Widow, you know, Iron Man. We'll see that. But then as it starts to rotate or whatever, and you start to see more, they're changing that with every movie. They're adding ones. Did you see Miss Marvel? Miss Marvel was in, I think, the Doctor Strange movie. I think it was.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Love and Thunder. Thor, Love and Thunder at the movies, and Miss Marvel was in there. It's pretty cool.
Okay, I saw Moon Knight was in the M on Miss Marvel. Moon Knight is in the M now.
Yep.
So yep.
But they're changing that. So every time you go to the movies, there'll be different characters, but you'll always get the legacy ones, I'm pretty sure. And then they're changing it. And at Thor, Love and Thunder, Miss Marvel was in there. So I thought that was pretty cool. And maybe Moon Knight might still be in there too, or so, because there's so many, and like you try and focus on them. It's like, it's hard to do, but yeah.
And the best one was, I think it's for Captain Marvel, the Stan Lee one. right after, you know, Stan Lee passed away, and they and
it
he
was all
Stan those.
Lee. Yeah, it was all that was,
it was
awesome,
man.
Yeah,
it was so yeah, like goosebumps, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah, it was wicked. I just watched Captain Marvel again recently, and same thing. Mm-hmm. I was like, that scene with him in it, and you know, when it, on the bus, and you just like, wow. And but yeah, the opening, you forget. You know, when you just pop the movie in and you hit play and you're like, mm-hmm. push play, sorry. And you're like sitting there and you're like, oh yeah, this is the one for Stan Lee. And you're like, oof, that's tough. Yeah.
Yeah. So. When you watch, I don't want to spoil anything, but when you watch the last episode of Ms. Marvel, there's kind of a scene where like, it's her and there's something going on and it made me think about like the Marvel movies a little differently because so it's her and she's kind of fighting like the police kind of, you know,
okay.
And the crowd is like cheering her on against authority, you know, police are thought as good guys and everything like that. Right. And it got me thinking like pretty much all Marvel villains, in their mind, they kind of think that they're the good guys for whatever reason, whatever they're, why they're angry is for something that did them wrong. Thanos, all of them. And in this movie, Ms. Marvel, or in this scene, Ms. Marvel's kind of a villain in a small way. And everybody is cheering her on against authority. And I'm like, it's weird how we kind of changed that around for once, you know? Rather, you could kind of root for Thanos the whole time, or you could root for any of the villains, you know?
Right.
Like, I guess, you know?
Yeah, well, that's...
So when you have to think about that when you see it, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, John and I have talked about that a bunch, and that the best villains are ones that you can relate to and go, I see what he's doing there. He's doing it wrong. Right. It's like,
yeah.
You know, there's gotta be a better way. Like what Thanos was doing was he was trying to better the universe by like, look, we're going to keep leading our way down to starvation here if we don't, you know, cull the herd. And so his idea is like, well, you know, and like other people have said, it was in, did you watch What If? The animated series?
Yep.
And they had the one with, I think it was the Black Panther one. And he was, Thanos was actually a good guy. They had changed his mind on what to do. And they were hanging out with him. And they're like, he's like, oh, no, come on. It was a really good idea. And they were like, no, it really wasn't. But I think it was even in one of the movies, somebody said, like, well, why instead of killing half the people, why don't we double the amount of everything everybody has? You know, you could, I mean, if you could do anything with all these stones, why are we eliminating people? Why don't we just add more resources? You know, like, hey, all right, if we can kill half, why can't we just add more resources? You know, but that's the idea, is that in the best villains, even in their own mind, they think they're doing good, right? And like even in Star Wars, the Empire, it's like the Empire thinks they're, the people I should say, think they're doing everything, they're just working for the Empire, they think they're doing the right thing, right? It's like being in, it's like you're in the United States Army, but you go up against another army. Both sides think they're doing the right thing. And it's,
yeah, that's true.
There's nothing, that poor guy over there, that he's only shooting at you because his commander told him to shoot, told you to shoot. You know what I mean? It's like, I have no animosity to this guy. This is just what I got to do, but that's the enemy. And that plays out in our entertainment, like you said, but hopefully we can learn from that.
Yeah,
we're getting philosophical here today, John.
I know, even Civil War, right? Like, we both love Tony Stark and Captain America, but they one said we need to like wrangle this in because people are getting hurt, and the other one said if they govern us, then you know they're gonna make us whatever, you know. So that was a good movie of makes you think of both sides too, right?
I'll let you
I
know.
Guess
Yeah, but here's where it's going to get interesting, and that's why I haven't seen the end of Ms. Marvel, but I know what you're talking about, where it's going. What's going to be really interesting is this is all building towards Secret Wars. Okay,
yeah.
Have you read Secret Wars?
Yep. No, but I know kind of the basis.
You know the basis. Yep. So everything you and I are talking about right now, imagine like Captain America fighting Captain America.
Yeah.
And that's what it's going to be. You're going to, from an alternate universe, but they're both trying to save their own universe. Why does my universe get to live, but yours gets, has to die for mine to live? But it's, you're literally fighting yourself from another universe to do this. So everything, all the philosophical questions we're bringing up right now, it's going to be a lot of fun for people to pretzel themselves around that and be like, but he's wrong, but he's wrong. It's the same damn person, but their motivation is to save themselves and their people they love. But how do you, I can't wait for this to be explored in the movies and go to the masses. Whereas in comics, we've read that, we've experienced it. Even I haven't read it either. I want to before the movie comes out, but I know the story because I know the lore of it and everything like you do. So, and I've had the conversations about it, and it's like, it's stuff like that, that when it comes out in a, you know, the billions of people in a movie, it resonates a little bit more. So hopefully that it helps.
Yeah. And I love the MCU. And I think why I love all the individual movies is, even if I don't like one of the movies individually, after I first see it, you always know it's part of a huge picture. And at some point you're going to look back at that movie and be like, something really important came out of that. Like the Eternals, it's probably lower on my list, but like the Celestials or whatever, you know, that's going to be a gigantic part coming up at some point. And you just have to remember that on every Marvel movie, is it's a piece of a puzzle, you know?
It's like, I mean, I think we've become spoiled in that we want everything to be an Endgame or an Infinity War or even, you know, like even Spider-Man No Way Home. And you're like, that was an event, but look at what that took. That took two other franchises being brought in, you know, two other movie sets or whatever you want to call it, being brought in to make it and to culminate into this emotional moment. But all of these things, when Marvel first started with Iron Man, then an Incredible Hulk, which was, everybody was like, hey, I loved it. I had a blast with it. I have a blast with each, like you said, piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
It really didn't pay off until you saw, like you said, I'm like you. I love that first Avengers movie, because that was our first Infinity War. That was our first Endgame, our first culmination of these movies coming together and then getting to see, like when he's like, hey, you know, you got a nice swing there, you know, Point Break. When Iron Man, when Stark calls Thor Point Break, and you're like, and they're, it's the first time they're all together and they're getting along, but they just fought at the mountain. You know, it was all of that coming together after those of mediocre movies, right? Iron Man 2 had already been out and people were like, but then, you know, Avengers kind of rejuvenated everybody. So I think we're going to get that probably in the next year or two. We'll get an Avengers type movie, a culmination of what we've experienced so far. And then we'll go back into the lulls for a little bit. And then, you know, who knows, but you're right. It's like, everything's a piece of a puzzle and you have to just, you might not understand it right now, but I mean, look at Age of Ultron. That was my least favorite. It still is, but I love them all. But that paid off big time with Wanda, with everything we're getting now. All of that stuff. What was the other? I think Infinity War or Avengers or Infinity War, that paid off big time. You saw there was so much more stuff in there. When you went back and watched Age of Ultron again, you're like, oh yeah, this was all brought up. It's like, but at the time you're just like, this is all right.
Even like Black Widow, it doesn't really seem like that's gonna do a lot, but I think it's gonna be the one lady is grabbing all like kind of the B-list villains to put together a team or something.
I don't know.
Is that what that Thunderbolts is gonna
Elaine
be, maybe?
From Seinfeld.
She's gonna get the Thunderbolts or something, I don't know.
You know,
whatever she's doing,
it's gonna be fun. I love them all, and some are better than others, of course, but you know, Thor Love and Thunder, I was like, it's okay, but I still love it. But as far as in the MCU, I kind of maybe in bottom middle, something like that, I would rank it.
Yeah,
but it was still fun.
My favorite, the first after credit scene, you know, I don't want to like spoil that for anybody either, but they unveil somebody that's going to come out. Have you watched the show Ted Lasso?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. So did you see who they have?
I said it right away. I was just showing my son the other day. We were watching, we came home from work and the TV was on and there was a Ted Lasso special from CBS or something. They did a whole, piece on it and he was on there. And I was like, that's him. I don't want to say the character and everything like you're saying. I don't want to spoil it, but I'm like, that's him. And he's like, oh, he was a little bigger in the movie. He's not that here. But yeah, it's a very quick scene that you see, but I knew right away. I leaned to my son at the movie theater and I'm like, that's such and such. And he's like, he doesn't know who that is because he hadn't seen Ted Lasso. So, but yeah, that looks cool. That's going to mean a lot too. You know, so much more. And that's Thor Love and Thunder. That's another movie. I think that now I like that in the theater more than I like Lost World Dominion, but that on disc, I'm hoping they redeem themselves for what they did with Ragnarok and we get the full sound. We get because the picture on that is going to be amazing. I think the HDR and his suit, his new suit in that, the blues and the gold and I cannot wait to see that in a proper theater, not, you know, mm-hmm. And that when I say proper, I mean ours.
Hey, ours. Yes. I agree.
Yeah. And I'm really looking forward to that. And it'll probably end up on Disney Plus in, you know, probably in the 45-day window, or whatever they do. And so we'll get to see that, much like Multiverse of Madness came out. So hopefully we'll get that soon. So
yeah,
can't wait. Can't wait.
Yep.
So, you got anything else?
What else? What do you want? Were you? I started watching Reacher yesterday. I really like that too.
You hadn't seen that?
Amazon. No, I just needed. I needed to start watching something. So I did watch two yesterday, and I watched two this morning.
Oh,
I like that a lot.
It's a great series. It's a great. Now, have you'd seen the movies, right?
Cruise? I know of it. I know of it, but no, I've never watched that.
So. I liked the movies. They're a little campy, but because Tom Cruise is a little guy. But what I liked is, so the character from, okay. So Reacher in the show, I forget the guy's name that's playing him, but he was on Titans. He was Hawk and Hawk and Dove. Did you ever see the show Titans?
No, I know him from Blue Mountain State. Did you ever watch that show?
No.
Is it Alan something or
Richardson? Richardson, I think. Yeah. Is Alan Rich?
Something like that.
I think it's Richardson. But anyway, he's huge.
Okay.
He is jacked. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is just a monster, right? He's like, I think in real life he's like 6'2", something like that.
Okay.
But they make him like the character of Reacher is supposed to be like 6'4" or 6'5" and be that big. So he in real life is only 6'2", and so they cast everybody around him to be a little to give him that 6'5" figure, okay?
Oh, okay.
That stature, because every shot of him is like it's like a Michael Bay film. They're shooting up at him, and you're like, you know, the cameras, and he's just his chest is like Jesus. It's like two globes, right?
Yeah, well, right.
If you notice, as the show goes along, he doesn't get the respect for his intelligence, right? They all just think he's a dumb jock. They're afraid of him. They're intimidated by him, but they don't think he's that smart, right? And as the show goes on, you start to really, if you know the character, you know he is that smart, but the characters start to realize, hey, he's pretty smart. What I liked about that compared to the Tom Cruise one is when you watch the Tom Cruise one, they all just assume he's just a smart guy, but they don't understand that he can fight because that he's Tom Cruise. He's just a little guy. Right. So you have the two interpretations of the character I can enjoy, because there's scenes in the Tom Cruise one where everybody's just like, they think they're just going to kick the crap out of him and he kicks the crap out of them. You see what I mean? So, but then he is the smart guy. And when he walks in a room, they're like, oh, we know about you. We know, you know, they respect his intelligence. But yeah, the show with, the series Reacher, it's like nobody wants to fight him. I mean, there's going to be a couple. I don't know if you've gotten to it. There's a scene in the prison where he gets ganged up on, but he obviously takes care of himself.
Yeah.
But most of the people are just scared of him anyways. So, but they all think he's just an idiot. And he's not. He's really smart. And I love how they do. It's a really good show. I'm looking forward to, I'm hoping they're going to have a season two, but I really like that. Have you seen Terminal List?
No, I think I'm going to start that after this. It's with Chris Pratt, right?
Yeah. I'm five or six episodes into that. I'm really enjoying that. That's a good one. It's good picture too. Good picture. Good sound, real good sound. Yeah, it's a good one. So check that, especially if you like Reacher. This one's a lot like that. Yeah.
Okay. So. On episode 4 of Reacher, there was kind of a funny part. So Reacher, he calls like his friend who's a private investigator, he says.
Yep.
Like to some old friend. If you go watch that scene again, she like jumps on a couch and the camera pans to the left and there's some really awesome orange speakers in her room. So I paused it and I don't know what they are. They're definitely expensive and they're like some boutique brand, but I don't know what they are. So if you can, I should have like wrote down what time it was, but yeah, they look really cool. They look like fancy, like high end focals or something, but they're not.
Yeah.
But I don't know what they are, but it like caught my eye like immediately.
Episode 4?
Episode 4, they're bright orange, and it's in that scene where he calls that private investigator lady.
Yeah. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, check it out.
Some expensive speakers. Leave it to Johnny Speakers to find the speakers in the scene.
Yep. Oh, so one other thing then with speakers, when I was watching Into the Spider-Verse, the cartoon one, is it called Into the Spider-Verse? Yeah. So Miles is sitting in with his uncle. That's the
yes, and the crawler. Big speakers.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, but they're all mismatched though.
Yeah,
so he's got ones in the front, and there's ones that are behind him, and all this. They're all gigantic, but they're all different. Which made me laugh.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. It was like those are the kind of speakers you would have bought out of a white van.
Yeah,
I love that scene. And they were all huge, which I loved.
Yeah.
That was like, that's the 80s. Like, you need.
And there are no matching pairs either.
No.
Every speaker is different.
Yeah, everything's different. And didn't he have like little ones on top of the big ones, I think?
They were everywhere. Like all over the room, there was just random speakers.
Random speakers just stacked all over the room. Yeah, that was real. I noticed that too. I thought that was really cool. Really, really cool.
Funny. So,
all right. Is that good? You have anything else?
So. Nope. I think that's it for what I'm watching these days.
Did you, now people have been asking me about notes and stuff. Did you prepare notes for today or did you?
Yesterday I didn't. I actually wrote like a couple. So like I put Zapedi, I knew we were talking about that, right?
I wanted to
mention my glaze over story because I just thought that was funny. Well, two things, I guess, that I put on my notes that I told you, but we didn't. I actually went to seven bass speakers. I added rear surrounds for the first time in my home theater journey. I've always been five. Dot whatever, and I like it. I don't think it's night and day,
but
it's definitely if you're willing to spend the money to buy another set of speakers, I think it's worth it. You know.
Yeah, it's not night and day, just like I don't think Atmos is night and day. It's just, I think it's more accurate location for the sounds in the room, right? Not location to where your speakers are, but you're getting a more accurate, you know, reading of where, like when a sound is supposed to be in the right rear corner or the left middle of the room or whatever it is. The more speakers you have, the more accurate it's going to be to the more people in the room too. You're right. It's not night and day. It's not like all of a sudden you'd be like, oh my God, where have they been all my life? No, you'll be like, oh, okay. And there's certain scenes where you'll be like, ooh, I feel like that's a little better this time. You know, you might not really even notice them for a while. And then all of a sudden you'll be like, wow, my room really came alive on that particular scene where I hadn't heard that before. Much like Atmos.
Mm-hmm. And then screen masking panels I added to just because the JVC's blacks are black, but they're not all the way black.
Right.
So I made those. Yep. And I watched your video. You have, what brand screen do you have again? I forget.
Oh, the Stuart Studio Tech.
Yeah, Stuart.
100.
Yes. So I have a silver ticket, and I try to do what you do, but like on the border of silver ticket, they're not like squared off. They're kind of like rounded edges.
Oh.
So you can't get that to stick.
You can't get it to wedge in, right?
To wedge in, right. So yeah, I had to do something different, and I really like it.
Where there's a will, there's a way. That's the thing.
Yep.
I can't watch movies without it. I'm like, it's, if a movie has, if I need CinemaScope, I pop it up there, and mm-hmm. I get it, you know, and it's having that velvet masking out the edges and not having those not black bars, right? Because mm-hmm. if you just leave it, yep. I feel like, especially now, I feel like that's just distracting. I feel like my perceived black level is so much better when you have the, you know, everything masked off appropriately. And it makes a big difference. And I can in a way, if my room, I've had this discussion with Todd Anderson from AV Nirvana, and like the idea of CinemaScope for a 16:9 screen and stuff, it's not cut and dry. It really isn't. If you have the space, then like say your room is really wide, then I would go with a CinemaScope. And then when you black out, then you would build those to go on the sides for your 16:9 movies, right? But if your room is really wide, why wouldn't you take up that space? Whereas my room isn't that wide, but I can take up enough space top to bottom. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. why would I go thin through my room in a CinemaScope and be missing projectable space above and below my screen? You see what I mean? So like it when I mask it out, that's the CinemaScope screen I could fit onto my wall. So I'm getting it anyways, right? So the answer to CinemaScope over 16:9, there's no right answer or wrong answer,
no.
I should say. It really, I need to know more information before I would give my opinion. I'm like, how wide is your room? It's like, how wide can you go? Do you want, like, for me, I could go wider, but then I'd have to go to acoustically transparent, and I don't want to do that. So I'm as wide as I can go, and that you know, that's what I would get. So there is, if you can do masking, and masking is even easier to do. If you do go to a CinemaScope, it's easier to put the ones on the sides because that's stackable, right? Or you could just do curtains if you wanted to too. You could use black velvet curtains and have them open and close.
Oh yeah. You could do that. Yeah.
So
I guess the only thing, I guess with a CinemaScope though, on the movies where they change ratios, and you're kind of,
yeah,
limited,
yeah,
a little bit by that, right? Because it'll make it bigger above and below the screen,
right,
that you won't really see.
Well, you'd have to watch it in 16:9. You'd have mm-hmm. to set your projector to 60, you know, just put it out in 16:9 and then watch that. That's why I'm not a big fan of that anymore, especially once you go to the masking like we do.
I know.
I don't like the
variable. I liked it before. Now I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Don't like it. And it really is kind of like, you're like, what are we doing here? Because it takes, there are some scenes, like I know watching Black Panther. So that scene when he flies into Wakanda for the first time at the opening of the movie, and mm-hmm. it's a variable aspect ratio movie. It's on Disney Plus in IMAX Enhanced. And when he flies in, it actually opens up gradually, like he's flying into. So it gives you that effect. Whereas, you know how a lot of it, like in Dark Knight, it's like you just jump from one scene to the next and you'll get you'll get the full screen, and then you'll go back and you'll have your bars, right? But it's just a jump mm-hmm. cut. In Black Panther, when he flies into Wakanda, as he's going into the trees, the screen opens up. And you don't even realize it the first time you see it, because you're just like, oh, now you get the full screen. I had to back it up and go, did they do that gradually? And they do. And it opens up nice, like you're flying in. But it's that type of thing. Pick an aspect. To me, it's like, go big or go wide, but don't, you know, I this jumping back and forth kind of takes me out of the movie. And what's funny is, yes, people with OLEDs right now are listening going, well, if you had an OLED, you wouldn't care because I have the perfect blacks at the top.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're also only at about 80 inches.
Yeah. You know? No, I know. OLEDs are awesome, but
they are.
It's just not.
And it's like, I've got a 110-inch screen, and it's like, I want to take advantage of a giant movie screen. And it's like, I put my black bars in and be like, now I'm going to go wider. Oh, son of a...
Hey, you know what, DJ, with your Lumigen, I listened to a podcast. There's a guy that it's called The Fun Waste of Time. Have you ever heard of that podcast before?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah,
I would love to have you and Taurus together on a podcast. That's dream podcast.
Yeah.
Okay. So he does, he'll do like home theater only podcasts every once in a while.
Right.
And he did the guy that either made Lumigen or he runs Lumigen.
Yeah.
He did like a podcast of that. Yeah.
Jim Peterson.
So there Lumigen does something which I don't think Cinescope would be good for you, where they actually they don't stretch out the image, but they make like even 16x9 images fit Cinescope. Yes,
they do. There's a lot you can do with it, but it's still manipulating the picture, right? And I don't want to do stuff like that. Like the other thing, it can actually take you ever watch a movie, especially for somebody like you like to use your masking and you'll watch a movie, but now the subtitles are in the masking.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, son of a gun. And you're like, you're trying to read it and you're like, oh, I can't really read it. And like one movie, my wife and I don't know if it was a movie or a show, and we had the masking up and we couldn't read it. It was just, there was too many subtitles. So I had to pull it down. I was kind of disappointed, but the Lumigen will manipulate that. And it'll move into the picture. So that I haven't used that on that one. I haven't used any of that little extra stuff on the Lumigen because it does stretch and you can do stuff like that to fit it to your screen. It basically what the Lumigen's doing is anything like you could do that with projectors too. Like you could set different some projectors, higher end projectors, you can set it to be like to stretch your screen this way, and you set, you know, and then you know. Memory settings and all this stuff. Well, Lumigen's basically it's basically a computer on steroids, so that the projector just has to do whatever it sends it. So there's a lot more that it can do. But yeah, I don't know if I heard. I think I did hear that podcast. I've heard Jim talk maybe a couple years ago. Yeah, I've heard Jim talk a lot about that stuff, and there is a lot that it can do. It's meant to be a lot more, make everything easier for the viewer, for the user, so that you just turn it on and just boom.
But the setup sounds pretty complicated on that thing.
Oh, it super is. It's like, I don't even want to mess with the damn thing.
Yeah.
But what it does is it's amazing. I recommend it. It's expensive.
And Taurus from that podcast, he had a lot of high end stuff, and he says that that's by far his best favorite piece of equipment that he owns too. That Lumigen.
Yeah.
So then when you got it, it got me thinking. I'm like, dang it, I kind of want one of those too. You know. But
you could sell one of your speakers upstairs.
I know.
And get two of them.
I think my next thing I want to get, because I think my theater is pretty good now. I'm sure I'll figure out something I want. Although, listen to Mike Schramm and his theater chairs he's getting. I have a couch, not chairs. So it kind of made me, I started looking at that too. You know, I messaged him because we both live in Illinois, and I asked him where he got us from. I started looking at Valencia and everything. I'm like, dang you, Mike, you know, you're going to make me spend more money, you know?
Yep.
But
that's what these podcasts do. You know how much money I'm spending because I'm listening to people, talking to people, and I'm like, oh my God. Oh yeah,
you and your Lumigen and Kaleidoscape, DJ, you're killing all of us, man. You know, but I think so. Upstairs, I like my speakers, but my dream, even though I don't know if they're worth the money, I want a Macintosh integrated amp. So that's what I'm saving for now.
Yeah,
I don't know if
you're a speaker guy. I feel like you deserve that. I honestly do. Reggie has one. Reginald Boyd, he's been on. He's got the Macintosh. He just sent me a picture the other day. He just added the Panasonic 9000 DVD Blu-ray player, and he sent me a picture. But every time he sends me a picture of his rack, it's and doesn't that sound funny?
It's like
luckily, I'm talking about a guy.
Yeah, no kidding.
Every time he sends me a picture of his rack.
I know, just the blues, and it's like artwork. It sounds awesome, and it's like artwork, you know?
Yeah, and it's, and he says he hears a difference. I don't, and that's the thing. I agree with Tom and Rob, and that they're like, if you're telling me you got it because of the blues, then fine, but there's no difference. But when I've been there, and I do that when you upgrade and you get these little pieces, it's an infinitesimal difference. But if you can hear it, then go. And it's like, but it takes time to get there. You can't just go from a run of the mill Emotiva amp and then just jump. You have to have been listening for years and listening to the upgrades and listening to each piece. Piece of content over. That's why I always open with Star Wars when I open. That way I'm getting the same exact experience again, but now how has it possibly been changed? And listening to these different things, and maybe you're going to hear something you've never heard before. And now I've done this with working out. You buy a new watch and it makes my workouts better. The watch didn't do anything, but it motivated me to do something. So now maybe these pieces, because of the hobby, because of that passion, makes you go and buy a Macintosh. And now maybe you're hearing things you didn't hear before. Some of it might be from the Macintosh. I'm sure there's something. I mean, it's a better piece of equipment, but you're also working harder to get your money's worth out of that piece.
Yeah.
So it's going to
justification.
justification, but it's a motivation, right? And it's like, at the same time, it's like, well, couldn't you have done that on the other one? No, I wasn't motivated. I didn't feel that, you know, but you drop down that money and you're like, ah. but now this is where I think, and this is where I'll push back on Tom and Rob. When you go and listen to somebody else's stuff and it's not that system, you'll be like, I'm not hearing it. Wait a minute. There is a difference. And that's when you start to note, that's when you start to get confirmation that it's small, but I know there's a difference there. Because when you go backwards, wait a minute, where did it go? I thought I could hear that. And that's what Mike and I were talking about last week with the OLED, where you're like, oh my God, it's there. It's always been there, but it's just so much more brilliant now that it's popping out at you and you're seeing the difference. It's not like some of these things, like the opening to the Matrix with the, you know, the code behind the code. It was there, and in some cases, maybe it really wasn't, because your display wasn't able to pull that little bit of color out, but there's an upgrade right there that you're like, all right, I can see the difference. And now when you go to somebody else's house, you'd be like, yep, I can make it out, because you know what to look for, but it's so subtle that you don't notice it. I think you do the same thing with a Macintosh amp, you know?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
You know, it's going to pull things out. It's going to, but you also have to have the speakers take advantage of that. And you do.
Yeah. The bad thing about Macintosh, though, they hold their value so well that even used, I mean, you're saving, I don't know, they're expensive, you know, and you might save 20% maybe on a used one.
Right.
So it's not like a lot of electronics, you're getting them at half or better discount. Macintosh is just hold value. And it's like, oh man.
looks so good.
Yeah, they sure do, man.
I'm just gonna get a couple of Emotiva amps and put a Hue light on it.
And hey, there's Emotivas are great too. There's nothing wrong. With Emotiva, that's for sure. You
know? I have a couple more on that to come.
and in a blind testing, DJ, I bet you wouldn't even be able to pick them out. They're probably the same.
Oh, yeah, exactly. In a blind testing, because you don't know what you're listening for. You don't know. And that's what I love about blind testing. It's like, all right, yeah, they do sound the same. But this is where, again, I will push back on myself for saying that. Over time, using something of a higher quality, you will experience how much better that is. It just feels, it just sounds better, feels better, everything. And it's over, mm-hmm. over that amount of time, like months of experiencing. And then you went back, if you were to change it, it would feel different. It would, and it takes time to do that. And that's why I say, like, you know, going and demoing stuff, it's like you can get an idea of it, but you don't know what it's like to live with it and to own it for months and experience it. And that's where, when you get into the higher end gear, obviously you're going to be living with this stuff for a while. You're passionate about whatever hobby it is, whether it's, you know, cycling and you're buying $10,000, $15,000 bike, or you're in home theater and you're buying $15,000 speakers. Either way, you're passionate enough to pull out what you need to pull out that of that purchase, you know?
And, yeah.
You know, I would never tell anybody, don't do it. It's like, that's fine. I'm like trying to encourage people to do it because you can, if you found a way to pull it off, it means you're justifying, you're just, that's where the passion took you. So do it.
It is. When you buy something like the Kaleidoscape, does it make you a little sad to get something like kind of in end game territory? The reason I wouldn't really want to buy the Macintosh, because I know if I ever did buy that, I'm kind of done. Like,
no.
What am I ever going to buy again?
No, you're basically what you're saying right there is you're like that guy that when they wanted to close the patent office because everything that's been invented has been invented.
Yeah.
And it's like, yes, here's the thing. No, I'm not sad at all. Look, I got the Kaleidoscape to me is, and I said it on the podcast, it was like me having Tom Brady in my house. I was like, because when they came out, I was like, well, when they first came out, they were bigger than Tom Brady. That's how long ago they came out. But it was like, it was something I never thought I would attain. Right. And Macintosh amp, much like that. If I ever was to get one, but I don't want a Macintosh like I wanted a Kaleidoscape. Right.
Yeah.
But I think the Macintosh probably means as much more to you. It probably feels to you like it does, like a Kaleidoscape does to me, where I'm just like, I'm like, I just, to get it, I don't feel like it is an end game thing. I think it's adding on, because that's the other thing, that what it is, especially with the Kaleidoscape, it's, I was so excited to have it that I'm like, oh, well, I want to get bigger hard drive. I got to save up for that. I want it to be able to hit one button and have everything happen, because the Kaleidoscape can make that happen. There's other branches off of here that I want to explore. Right. So, but I think that's the nature of home theater, right? You'd get that end game. You think it's an end game piece, but now you're like, what can I do to make this even better? You're never going to stop. You know, if the gear isn't what's driving us, it's you're driving you. Right. And it's like,
yeah, I don't want the journey to be over. I just want the journey, you know? So this is how crazy my brain thinks, is that I'm like, well, if I just got a Macintosh amp, and I just kept like my regular receiver I have, I could always upgrade the preamp someday, you know, then I have something, I always want something to look forward to, you know?
Yeah.
You don't want to be done, you know, you want to always have something to look forward to.
Exactly. And that, but that, it is so like you think that that's my point, is like, you think that the Macintosh is the end game, but it's not. It's, that's just another piece. Sadly. Yeah. Not sadly. I mean, sadly for Macintosh, great for you, because you'll always find something else. You'll just be like, as much as you coveted the Macintosh, once it's in your system, your head's like, okay, now what? What's next?
I know. I know. Like, yeah.
And, but you'll be enjoying, like me with the Kaleidoscape, it's like, I am looking to what's next. I have something coming up that I haven't talked about on the podcast, but
I know, and I want to know what that is now.
Yeah, I know.
You mentioned it before.
I know. It's called a tease.
Okay, yeah.
But it's one of those things, I'll say this, it's one of those things that the reason I'm not talking about it is it's a lot like, it's not a Macintosh amp, but it's a lot like that, where people are like, you don't need, I don't want that. I know if I told people, I would just get messages, I'd get congratulations, but I'd also get the, you know, blah, 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 blah. Which there's no difference in that, and blah, blah, blah.
The haters, DJ, the haters.
Yeah, no, and I don't have a lot of them. I don't have really any because they all just go away because I just laugh. I'm like, oh, okay, you don't like it. All right.
It's DJ, you're too nice to have haters. I don't understand how anybody could, but whatever.
You'd be surprised.
I bet. I'm sure, but I think, yeah.
Some people just don't like, they don't understand being positive. Yeah, they're like, true. What? Yep. That doesn't make sense. No, but you know what I mean? So like, there's always a next thing. And I'm already looking past this next thing to my next thing. And like, I've said it before, I've done it a million times, but most recently when I got the Lumigen and Jim's calibrating the room and I'm looking at him and I'm like, it's not even done yet. The room's just like not running. The Lumigen hasn't even played yet. I haven't even gotten chills watching it go. And I'm like, so Jim, what's next? You know? And he goes, he looks at me, he's on his computer and he looks over to me. I'm on his right. And he looks over and he goes, what the hell do you mean? What? Nothing. This is it. You're done for years. It'll take years for a projector to beat this. And I'm like, okay, you sure?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I've already talked to him about the new Sonys. I'm like, I talked to him about the new JV. I'm like, what do you think of these? He goes, shut up. He goes, don't wait. Like the money wouldn't, he's like, it's not worth it. Okay. All right. He goes, it's an upgrade. But it's so minor that he goes, what you experienced with the Lumigen, it's going to take you some time to come down from that. He goes, if we were to put in one of these new JVCs or one of these new Sonys or whatever and connect it with the Lumigen, he goes, you're just going to be like, oh, okay. Yeah, black levels might be a little deeper, but it's not that big of a difference. So, but the jump I got with the Lumigen, he's like, it's going to take a few years. So I'm like, all right, I trust them. And
okay.
You know,
well, I look forward to hearing what the next toy you get is then.
Yeah. It's pretty soon, pretty soon. Honestly, you know, okay. What it is, not what the toy is. I need time. Weather up here has been nice. We've had very, very little rain and that's where I do all my, like, I can't work in the rain. So that's where I do my fiddling and stuff and taking stuff apart. And this is kind of a bigger project. So I need like a day or two. Like if we get 2 days of rain scheduled, I'd be like, yeah, time to break it down and tear stuff apart and do stuff. But I don't have that. I'm like, I get to work, which is good. I get all these days of working, which means I'm making money. But yeah, it's like, okay, I just need the time to do it. You know, it took me a while. Did you see last week's podcast where I talked about the SVS HDMI cables?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So yep. I put those in, but I had those sitting in my house, 7 of them. I had them sitting in my house for like, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks before I could even install, just putting in HDMI cables. I didn't have time. I was like, cause you got to pull everything apart, put it down, make it look neat and do all that. And I'm like, which was the purpose. But that took time, and it's like, I had the time, but I spent it watching movies and shows, you know, but to actually tear my system apart for a minute, you know, it only took me probably a half hour, 45 minutes to do, but it's like, I had better things to do. I didn't have the time, so it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I have a JV or SVS speaker cables upstairs, and, do they make it sound any better? No, it's the same. But I think they look cool, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's why I just don't want plain, like clear or black wire. I just wanted something to look cool, so I bought those, knowing it would be good quality. And then, I just like how it looks. I think that blue and black combo looks cool. And yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I like the HDMI cables, the sheathing, the weave looks so good. That looks so good. I was like, I had to have them when they came out. I was like, oh, I gotta get those. And I am looking at their speaker cables, but they're, cause I'm thinking of upgrading all of my speaker cables and running a hub. That's part of another project I want to do where I'm going to put a junction box on the wall so that instead of running everything right now, everything is run around the room with all the different speaker wires. So like, if you look at the back of my receiver, you have all this different kind of speaker wire. Cause some of it's 20 years old. They're all in-wall speaker wire. But if I could put a hub on the wall where, you know, a junction box, and then I just banana plug into that and then run a 6 foot right to the receiver, a nice one. So then everything's on in the wall and all the speaker wires back there. And then I run nice fiber. So just to dress up the back of the receiver.
Yeah. You know? They call it like audio jewelry, I think is what
exactly.
People call it.
Yeah. No. It doesn't change. It's not going to change the sound at all. No. It's just going to make it look nicer in the back. So that's why that's one of those rainy day things. That's another project I want to do that I'm looking at. So shopping for speaker cables, I should say, not wire.
Yeah. Speaker cables.
Yep. All good stuff. All good stuff.
All good stuff. Yep.
Wow. All right. Now it's time. 229 okay. We're at. Woo.
All righty. Cool. Cool.
That's
all
right.
A
long one. So all started with the Zapedi.
Yeah. Hopefully they didn't bore too many people, but I think if you're willing to spend the money and the time, it's worth it. You know, it's like a guy with like Steve George who has all those, you know, I mean, it would take him like probably years to be able to put all that stuff on.
Oh my God.
But it would just be worth it. You know, I think so.
He would definitely need the NAS. Absolutely. Yo, would have to need the NAS system because you're not fitting that onto one or two 16. I mean, I'm at like, he has more movies than I do and I'm up to 600 and my NAS almost full, but I can expand onto that. I have a 5-bay and that's almost full.
Okay. That's... Yeah, I think mine with my 140 or 150 movies, I'm at like 8 terabytes out of the 16. So it can hold quite a bit, you know, more than I thought it was going to.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll get, my Kaleidoscape's 12 and I'm almost, that's 200 movies. So 204Ks. So you roughly thereabouts, depending on, you know, there's some give and take, but 16 terabytes, you should be able to get like 300 maybe.
Okay.
Pretty close. Yeah. Pretty close. 250, 300. Yep. So.
Yep.
All right. Oh, the reason I asked about notes earlier is because people have been asking me, do I send you my notes? People wanting to come on the show. I'm like, we could do this off the cuff. We can do the, I mean, you know, people have come on the show and they've had notes and we don't even get to them. Like I asked you about yours and you're like, oh yeah, we didn't even talk about this. It's like, whatever makes people more comfortable, just, you know, it's easy, right? It's super easy.
Yeah. You pretty much lead the way. Like I was nervous the first time and I was even more nervous today for, I don't even know
really?
Why, but I think it's cause I was like, oh no, what if I talked about everything the first time? Oh crap. You know, but, you lead the way and, it's kind of like we just join in the listeners, join in the conversation.
Yeah. So you get an opportunity to yell
so
back
easy.
At me.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, awesome.
Yep.
All right. Yep. Johnny Speakers, thank you very much. Everybody, thank you for listening. John, my buddy John, will be back on Friday with, I don't even know what movie we're doing, but I'm definitely going to be talking about Lost World Dominion. Pumping that one up because I think it's definitely worth the 4K physical media, not the streaming. Check it out. Check you out then. Until then, go push play.
Hey Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.